Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
Tuesday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on KGYM 1600 AM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio and great local programming like the Gym Class and this show. Also heard on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids, and online at kgymradio.com. Great program for you today. We're going to catch up with the newest member of Fran McCaffrey's basketball staff in Iowa City, Billy Taylor, coming back to Iowa City. He's been with the Hawkeye program before, filling that vacancy several weeks ago that was on Fran's staff. And Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports will be with us as well tonight. Yesterday, we gave everyone an update on a busy recruiting weekend for the Iowa football team. Things are even busier, or remain busy, for the Hawkeyes. Kyle will fill you in on your first Alexander Lumber Big Board update of the day coming up in about 15 to 20 minutes. But the Cyclones also had a nice recruiting weekend, getting some good results from some visits, picking up, I believe it was three players, including a junior college wide receiver. So Alex will give us the lowdown on that, plus some pretty good discussion topics we'll get into today, one involving Charles Barkley. But first,
is Charles Barkley speaking about LeVar Ball?
No.
Did you hear his quote about LeVar Ball?
I can only imagine.
I'm paraphrasing here, but he's like, wherever LeVar Ball is from, there is a village missing an idiot.
I have almost always been Team Chuck. I love Charles Barkley. He never played for one of my favorite teams, but there's just something about Charles Barkley. Maybe it's the bad golf swing. Maybe it's the bad body post-retirement. Or maybe it's the fact that he just runs his mouth with reckless abandon that I have always appreciated about him, a kindred spirit. I don't know. I've always liked Charles Barkley, and he tends to hit the nail on the head. And I think he may have there with LeVar Ball as well. Didn't he challenge Barkley to a one-on-one at some point? He challenged somebody to a game of one-on-one.
Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, Hakeem Olajuwon. I mean, I'm sure of the top 50 players of all time, LeVar Ball has challenged at least 30 of those guys to a one-on-one, game of one-on-one.
We got lots of baseball to talk on the program today. The Chicago Cubs are turning to their rookie right-hander, Adbert Alzolay, to make his first career start. He was tremendous over the weekend, coming out of the bullpen, but he will make his first start at Wrigley Field tonight against Max Fried in the Atlanta Braves, and the wind is blowing out big time. He's going to get a major introduction to Wrigley Field. There is, of course, another storyline with the Cubs to discuss today, and we'll touch on Wilson Contreras and Tyler Flowers, the dust-up from last night's contest, coming up in just a little bit. John Mozeliak, the general manager of the St. Louis Cardinals, holding a news conference in St. Louis today, confirming what we suspected last night, and that's the closer Jordan Hicks with the torn UCL. But you try to say UCL and not say A right afterwards. I can't do it. I don't know if you've caught that before. I almost always want to roll right into UCLA. UCL, ligament. Well, the L stands for ligament, so that's redundant. But Jordan Hicks will undergo Tommy John surgery tomorrow morning and most likely will not be available maybe at all in 2020. I guess we'll wait and see. I haven't seen an update if it was addressed. Alex Reyes, I know, has been shut down once again at Triple A Memphis with yet another injury.
If you're a Cardinals fan, I wouldn't hold my breath waiting for Alex Reyes to pitch again and 2019.
Man, I went all in on him. My fantasy baseball teams, my dynasty leagues, it was between him and Julio Urias, and I traded Julio Urias, and I thought I had made the right decision there. And it turns out, and I don't think either one of those guys is going to be a multi-time all-star. It goes to underscore something that many folks out there say. There is no such thing as a pitching prospect. Oh, but wait, there is. He's going to be on ESPN tonight, pitching for the Vanderbilt Commodores and trying to save Vanderbilt's season against the upstart Michigan Wolverines. For those of you not paying any attention to the College World Series, Michigan did it last night. They won game one, and now Vanderbilt is on its heels, and it turns to a freshman pitcher. And if you're a baseball fan, I'm telling you, check this guy out. He's already the number one draft prospect in 2021. That's the next time that he'll be available for the Major League Baseball draft. He was taken last year, I think in the 30th round or something like that, because teams knew he was headed to Vanderbilt. He wanted too much money. Kumar Rocker. Great name, and no, he is of zero relation to John Rocker. You would know that if you've ever seen Kumar Rocker. This guy is lights out. Now, I know Michigan jumped on Vandy's pitching. That guy was like 13-1 or something like that, but this is the equivalent of going up against a guy who I think could pitch probably in the big leagues right now. He's that nasty. But is it okay? This is a piggyback sort of on a question that we touched on last night. Our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, is it okay to root for Michigan tonight? Yes or never? For those of you, and we heard from people yesterday that said absolutely not, never, ever, ever. And I would love if Rick Heller were on the program right now, I would ask him who he's rooting for tonight. I think I know the answer. He's rooting for Michigan. But this is Coastal Carolina won the College World Series a couple years ago, and it was viewed as an upset. This would be a much bigger upset than Coastal Carolina winning the College World Series. And I know people listen to that or people hear that, and they're like, well, Coastal Carolina, nobody's ever heard of them. Everybody's heard of Michigan.
Well,
no, this is the upset of all upsets, in my opinion. Now, Michigan's got to pull this off. They've got to win one of the next two games in order to do it, and I think they're going to have to go to game three. I don't see any way they win tonight, but they pulled it off last night, and telling you, if you don't like college baseball, if you're just sort of a casual baseball fan, watch these games. I think you'll wind up getting pulled in, but this Michigan team is a lot better than people have given it credit for. They were one of the last teams to get into the field. They've done nothing but play outstanding baseball since the regionals, super regionals. They were 3-0, now 4-0 in Omaha, and they're doing it again. This is the equivalent. Vanderbilt is sort of the equivalent of a Alabama football, if you want to look at it through that lens.
And the road that they've taken, they have played plenty of blue bloods along the way. They beat UCLA in Los Angeles. They're just a team right now that is on fire. And it's strange to me that for some reason college baseball is the sport where this can happen, where you see a Cinderella make a run all the way to the national championship game, win the national championship game. You mentioned Coastal Carolina. I think back about 10 years when Fresno State was one of the last teams into a regional. They were a 4 seed in their regional. They won the national championship. There's something about baseball in a 1-game or 2-game scenario that all bets are off. You never know what's going to happen. And like you said, Vanderbilt throwing out Kumar Rocker, who in the super regional against Duke threw a no-hitter after Duke had gone up 1-0 in that series, and Vanderbilt came back and won. So it's going to be very interesting, but Michigan just 1 game away, 1 win away from being the first Big Ten team since 1966 to win a national championship in college baseball. Ohio State was the team who did it back then.
Michigan is going to turn to a guy who's only thrown 5 1/3 innings during the entire postseason tonight. His name's Isaiah Page. They originally thought Jeff Criswell would be the starting pitcher tonight. Looks like they're going to use him out of the bullpen, according to Kendall Rogers of D1Baseball.com. He actually likes that as a move for Michigan. And if not, they've got a tandem that they can use in Game 3 if it gets to do or die tomorrow. 319-366-1600. So all eyes, at least among Big Ten baseball fans, on the College World Series tonight. This is a huge deal. At least it should be. I think it's been largely met with shrugged shoulders around here, but if Michigan can get to the College World Series, and if Michigan can get to the finals of the College World Series, don't tell me that Iowa can't. I think back a couple years ago, they probably had about as good of a chance as any with that team with Jake Adams, and they got hot in Bloomington, won the conference tournament, got into the regionals. As you said, baseball is a really, really hard game to predict. You can't.
No.
And if you come along, you're playing great baseball at just the right time, you can do exactly what the Michigan Wolverines are doing tonight, and that's playing for a College World Series title, as you said, something that a Big Ten team has not done since 1966.
This Michigan run sort of reminds me of my first year in Oregon. The Corvallis Regional featured Oregon State led by one Michael Conforto. And that they were the number one national seed going into the tournament. They were hosting a regional. UNLV was in the regional, but the number three seed was UC Irvine. And nobody thought UC Irvine had a chance in that regional. And UC Irvine ran the number one national seed out of the NCAA tournament, took over the regional, got to the super regional, won the super regional, made a run all the way to the College World Series, and I want to say they got to the national championship game, but they made a run to the College World Series, which is why I know UC Irvine, that's a different animal. They are a proven program. But, yeah, I think that this Michigan team proves anything can happen. Anything is possible in college baseball, and now with schools investing a little bit more money, investing in indoor facilities, investing in new facilities altogether, as far as building up beautiful stadiums on campus, these teams can get to the College World Series. Just look what Indiana has done. Indiana came before Michigan, and they got some of the top prospects in baseball, including Kyle Schwarber, to go to Indiana and lead them to the College World Series. And they've kept success since then. They haven't returned to the College World Series, but they have been a very successful program since then.
2270 on the text line with an apt comparison. Is this the equivalent of Loyola's run in basketball a couple seasons ago? I could see it through that lens. I definitely. And Tom in Norway, splitting hairs here, but I think we'll allow it. He says, I will not cheer for Michigan, but will be cheering against Vanderbilt. So there you go. If you really want to hold out,
that works.
If you really want to hold on to those Big Ten allegiances, you don't have to cheer for Michigan if you're a Hawkeye fan. You just root against Vanderbilt. Those texts coming in, by the way, on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, 319-366-1600. If you'd like to use that number, you can certainly do so to reach out to us.
7-Eleven, when is Iowa going to renovate Dwayne Banks Field? Well,
it would be a really good time for Rick Heller to text Gary Barta and ask him what he's watching on TV tonight.
How much money would a national championship for Michigan bring to the Big Ten? I don't have that number in front of me, but be a nice payday for the Big Ten.
Now, there are people out there that think Dwayne Banks Field is a nice facility. It's not.
No,
and they've
it's
put
not.
A they've put a ton of effort and money into giving it a facelift and making it respectable, but there's a little to no clubhouse space. It's not the type of facility that you need in order to take that next step. And we've had, I think back to a couple years ago, not that I would ever rub this in anybody's face, but I had made a comment about the state of Dwayne Banks Field, and I think I had referred to it as sort of a dump, and that got under the skin of one of our listeners, and he chewed me out on the text line. And then I think it was 2 days later that we had Rick Heller on the program, and I asked him, what do you need? You know, what do you want to do? And the first thing that he said was, we need a new facility. So not to revisit that and not to completely take the puppy's nose and rub it into the wet spot on the carpet, but occasionally I know what I'm talking about here. And Dwayne Banks Field is not going to get it done if the Hawkeyes would like to take that next step. And you can win in college baseball if you're a northern school.
If you have the right coach.
If you have the right
coach.
And
the facilities.
And speaking of, there's more Big Ten news today. Rutgers is going to hire Steve Owens, who's currently Bennett Bryant, as its baseball coach. Steve Owens, at one point in time, about three decades ago, was a Chicago Cubs minor league prospect. He's viewed as a very solid college baseball coach, and get Rutgers up and running. And you want to talk about disadvantages, northern programs, New Jersey. I mean, what type of baseball player could ever possibly come out of New Jersey, right? We'll get into that in the 6 o'clock hour tonight, because we're going to talk about the best players that you've seen before they were stars. I'm referring to Mike Trout. For those of you who don't know, he's from Millville, New Jersey, and lots of teams decided, northern guy, he's not playing against any good competition, take a pass on him. Well, those teams are still kicking themselves. 319-366-1600. Let's go ahead and bring Kyle in. He'll get you a big board update early here. Billy Taylor of the University of Iowa men's basketball staff set to join the program here shortly, returning to Fran McCaffrey's staff. Big board updates on the Todd Brawley Camp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented daily by Alexander Lumber. As for right now, you can still find them at their temporary location, 2802 Independence Road in Iowa City. Also, the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street. Here's Kyle.
The Iowa football team's prolific recruiting run continued today with the first commitment in the class of 2022, meaning that the Hawkeyes have secured a pledge every day since last Friday, 8 in total. Now, the class of 2022 isn't ranked yet by the major outlets, but defensive end Aaron Graves from Gallery, Iowa, may be a name you want to remember. As a freshman, he had 67 tackles, 15 for loss, and 11 sacks, and now as a sophomore-to-be, he stands 6'4" and 230 pounds, is a standout in track as well as with the Iowa Barnstormers basketball program. His high school coach told Rob how Graves is solid in his commitment, saying, quote, "Alabama could come and it won't matter." Former Cyclone and new Chicago Bears running back David Montgomery received quite the honor this afternoon, being named the Big 12 Male Sports Person of the Year. He's just the second Cyclone to win the award, joining Kale Sanderson back in 2001. Former Hawkeye infielder Mason McCoy has been tearing it up with AA Bowie, and as such was named an Eastern League All-Star. He leads the Bay Sox with a .324 batting average after hitting .379 to start the year in single A. As a matter of fact, if you combine his numbers from both Frederick and Bowie, he's top five in hits in all of the minor leagues. The Colonels are back home for the first homestand of the second half, beginning with a four-game series with the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. 6'4", 260-pound, 20-year-old Kaiwei Tang from Taiwan is making the start tonight. He's 2-0 with the Colonels with 18 strikeouts in 14 innings. The Twins are also starting a homestand tonight with a surprising Tampa Bay Rays. It's Blake Snell and Kyle Gibson on the mound, and you can hear it on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
I'm beginning to think Mason McCoy has that look of a pretty solid utility infielder in the major leagues, like Jack Dom said he could be years ago when he was drafted.
Compared him, I think, to Ben Zobrist in the type of player that he could be, a guy that you can bounce around second base, shortstop, maybe even a third base in a pinch, and throw him in the outfield if you need him.
Daniel Descalso, so to speak.
In today's day and age, with rosters as limited as they are and teams liking to carry that additional pitcher, You can play a number of positions all over the place and prove your worth to a team. They're going to keep you around. There's no doubt about that. Mitch Keller, while we're talking about baseball and minor league baseball in particular, the former Cedar Rapids product, who's been up and down in the big leagues so far twice this year with the Pittsburgh Pirates, had a very nice start last night for the Indianapolis Indians, and there's talk that he could once again be returning to the major leagues after you cannot come back up in under 10 days once you've been sent to the minors unless there's an injury in which you would be needed for that spot. So that's what it would take to get him recalled earlier than he can be at this point. But Keller seems to, he's still finding his way in the major leagues. His third and most recent big league start was by far his best, but every time he pitches for Indianapolis, it seems to be pretty clear that there's not much more he can do at AAA. So it's taking that last step between AAA and finally settling in at the major leagues. And of course, we're pulling for him to do just that.
I just wish the Pirates would allow him to, I don't know, pitch and get settled in. Because I hate to say it, that team is not going anywhere. I don't think that they have the roster to do it. They've been sort of caught in the middle of the past couple of years. They made that horrible trade to acquire Chris Archer. That team's not getting it done. Allow a guy who clearly is dominating AAA to work out the kinks at the major league level, get settled in, get the nerves calmed down a little bit, especially your top prospect, and see what he can do.
I just saw the ratings, not to circle back around to the College World Series, but the ratings on game one between Michigan and Vanderbilt, 1.87 million viewers. Now, that's not a tremendous amount when you compare it to something like the Super Bowl or the World Series, but it's the most watched game one from Omaha since 2011 when Florida and South Carolina went at it. So I think there is a pretty good amount of interest, not only among the Michigan fan base, but I think across the northern states, there are people that are tuning in to see whether or not Buster Douglas can knock out Mike Tyson. I certainly know who I'm pulling for tonight. And again, if you want to be like Tom in Norway, and I think that's a great way to frame it, Tom is not rooting for Michigan. He's just rooting against Vanderbilt. 424, we'll take a quick timeout. Again, Billy Taylor is going to be with us shortly. We'll chat Hawkeye basketball with the newest addition. He's not a new face, but he's the newest addition to Fran McCaffrey's staff. Alex Halstead at 24/7 Sports with a Cyclone recruiting update in the 5 o'clock hour. And the best player you saw before they became a star in the 6 o'clock hour tonight. It's all on the way before 7, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, and online at KGYMRadio.com. The Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues after this.
Welcome to Faradise, or as we like to call it, the Linn County Fair. There might not be palm trees, but the drinks are cold, the treats are tasty, and there's fun for everyone. Come join us in Faradise, tomorrow through Sunday. Carnival rides are always a favorite, and they're just the beginning. Thursday, Community Savings Bank presents Youth Day, with free activities from pig races to hands-on activities in the Farm Credit Services Agucation Zone. The whole family can find something to enjoy in the Farm Bureau Pavilion throughout the fair, from local bands to a hypnotist and even a cookie stacking contest. For ticket information, go to thelinncountyfair.com. Come to the Linn County Fair in Central City, just 15 minutes north of Marion, tomorrow through Sunday. Sponsored by SPS Inc., Linn Newsletter, CBS2, Fox 28, Copyworks, and Mediacom. Get all the details at thelinncountyfair.com, where great memories are made.
Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, presents another edition of the Cubs Report with Todd Bromelkamp.
Help is on the way for the Cubs bullpen. Free agent reliever Craig Kimbrell is scheduled to pitch today with the Iowa Cubs in what many believe will be his final minor league rehab appearance. Cubs president Theo Epstein referred to today's scheduled outing as an important checkpoint in determining if Kimbrell is ready to return to action. After signing a $43 million three-year deal earlier this month, the seven-time All-Star has made three appearances for the iCubs. He's tossed 2 2/3 innings and has a 3.38 earned run average. Opponents are hitting just .200 against him. Ultimately, the decision on whether Kimbrell could join the big league team may lie with Kimbrell. Epstein said no one knows his body better than the right-hander himself, and if he doesn't feel he's ready, he'll likely be held down until he feels comfortable. Cubs manager Joe Maddon has said Kimbrell will be eased into a bullpen role, but that may just be a talking point for a team that's been in desperate need of relief help most of the season.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why Marvin Windows and Doors are only sold at local, trusted, independent dealers, not big box stores. Marvin never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship.
At Alexander Lumber, we're proud to be a Marvin dealer. Visit us at 2802 Independence Road or at our Answers by Alexander showroom, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Listen up, everybody. I'm happy to say that our office will be doing a winter coat drive.
Oh, I think I have something.
Actually, they just need men's coats in a size medium, preferably light blue.
What charity is this exactly?
The None of Your Business Foundation.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Takeru Kobayashi, Joey Chestnut, two record-setting champions.
And they are underway. It's eat all you can in 12 minutes.
We were pushing each other to limits that neither one of us thought we were going to go to.
We had a great rivalry. There's nothing like it.
What if I told you there was even more beef behind the scenes?
I didn't expect the rivalry to end the way it did.
The Good, the Bad, the Hungry. Next Tuesday at 8 p.m. on ESPN.
Was that a 30 for 30 on competitive eating?
Yeah, it was. Are they our friends at ESPN in Bristol running out of topics to do 30 for 30s on?
Well, see, they've got the TV rights to the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest on the 4th of July. So, again, this is just good synergy. Do 30 for 30s on things that you have the rights to. They've done a couple NHL 30 for 30s that have been really good, but we've talked about the reason that ESPN doesn't talk a whole lot about the National Hockey League is they gave up the rights to it. And if you had the NHL on your network, you'd be talking a whole lot more about it as ESPN does, ABC, ESPN with the NBA.
Yeah, we were discussing this last week, Todd, but can you imagine what the coverage of the NBA Summer League is going to look like on ESPN with Zion Williamson playing?
Well, between that, it's either that or how many hot dogs Kobayashi tries to put down on the 4th of July. I mean, heaven forbid we talk an air baseball all summer long. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Billy Taylor said to join the program in just a little bit, the newest member of Fran McCaffrey's coaching staff, although he's not new. He's been on the Iowa staff before. He's coming back to the Hawkeye program, filling the vacancy that was created a couple months ago. Does it not seem like Andrew Francis left the program 3 years ago at this point? With everything that's gone on this offseason already for the Iowa basketball program, this seems like it's been a year ago.
Yeah. This offseason has been very, very long. And it's sort of crazy to think that they're probably just back on campus working out and practicing within the last couple of weeks. So they're just getting back to basketball activities after what has been a pretty tumultuous offseason with the departures and the injuries and the departure of a coach and bringing back Billy Taylor. So they're back to business, finally, and all of that seems like it happened. The other thing I think about, Todd, is how long does that Tennessee game feel like it was ago? When everybody was... I think some people were glass half full, some people were glass half empty, but the glass half full people said, look at what's returning. This next year is the year. That seems like it was literally 4 years ago.
Yeah, I can't put my finger on it. It's been such a, I don't know whether tumultuous is the right choice of words or not, but there's been so much going on with the Iowa basketball programs, the comings, the goings, the drama, the recruiting discussions as to whether or not you can go out and get a graduate transfer. And they finally did in Bakari Evelyn from Valparaiso, but it's been a long time since we've had a basketball offseason that was as up and down as this one has been. 319-366-1600 again is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. I don't know. This happens all the time, how a guy makes his way to the major leagues without people knowing how to say his name. But we've now had the definitive pronunciation for the Cubs starting pitcher tonight. Adbert Alzolay, according to Len Casper, who is the Cubs television broadcaster. I've never heard it pronounced Alzolay, but that is the official pronunciation, and they will be saying it quite often on the broadcast tonight as the Cubs take on the Braves, hopefully in a good way, although with the wind blowing out at Wrigley Field and his propensity for giving out up fly balls, perhaps it won't be in a good way. The Wilson Contreras, Tyler Flowers thing last night. I don't know why this is a thing, but
it's just another one of these discussions about baseball and how much emotion is allowed, how much trash talk is allowed, and this clashing of new school versus old school. It's exactly the narrative that Major League Baseball is trying to avoid, yet these types of incidents bring up the discussion every single time.
This is on the heels of something that didn't get a ton of attention in this part of the woods, but over the weekend, the Red Sox were playing the Blue Jays, and Marcus Stroman, who's a pretty animated guy on the mound for Toronto, came under fire from Dennis Eckersley, the Hall of Fame pitcher who's a member of the NESN broadcast crew for the Red Sox games. Dennis Eckersley was criticizing Marcus Stroman for the way that he was showboating or celebrating after a strikeout. Dennis Eckersley's almost the guy who started all of this back in the late 80s. He used to jump off the mound and he would pump his fist and do a lot of things that if he were doing it today, apparently he would be criticizing himself for doing. Sometimes I think these guys forget what they did as players and that this stuff has been. It's like when we were having the discussion about bat flips and all of a sudden people dig up footage of Mickey Mantle flipping his bat from the early 60s, late 50s, early 60s. And you're like, okay, you just need to pay attention. This stuff has been around for a really long time. But we didn't have a problem at the time when Mickey Mantle was doing it. But now that somebody else is doing it, heaven forbid.
It's just the fact that these things end in not brawls, but altercations and pitchers retaliating. I've said that this for a long time. I feel like a broken record, but that actively harms the game. It really does. I think it does keep viewers away. It doesn't allow the character of the players to build the way that other sports do, and the character of the players to shine through the way other sports do. So I thought last night was another example of it, but it seems that this clash is going to continue as long as the two sides are standing as firm as they have been the past couple of years.
We'll have more on last night's Cubs game and tonight's Cubs game coming up before 7 o'clock, but right now, pleased to have with us, as promised, Billy Taylor, newest member of the Iowa basketball coaching staff. Coach Taylor, we appreciate you joining us tonight, and how's your summer been going?
Well, you know, Todd, it's first of all, it's a pleasure to be with you. It's exciting to be back here in Hawkeye land, and it's been a hectic summer for me, I got to tell you. It's been very busy between kind of back and forth trying to sell a house in one state, buy a house here in Iowa, and recruiting and travel, all that. But it's been a very good busy.
Now, Coach, let's go back to last year. You had an outstanding season as the head coach at Belmont Abbey. How big of a decision was it for you to leave there and come back as an assistant coach with Fran and the Iowa basketball program?
Yeah, you know, we did. We had a great season last year. We won 23 games, and we lost in our conference championship game, so just a little bit short of the NCAA tournament, but certainly had an amazing season and kind of a record-setting season. And when Fran called, I mean, it's the opportunity to basically work with family. This is now the third time that Fran has hired me, twice at Iowa, once at UNC Greensboro. And then you add in that he recruited me as an assistant coach when I went to Notre Dame. So, he's got pretty good track record of being able to get me to say yes over the course of 30 years. So while it was a very difficult decision because of the affinity that I had for Belmont Abbey and the position I had and being a head coach, coming back with family like Fran was kind of an easy decision.
So that was the sales pitch that – come home, come back to the family, kind of like the Godfather.
Come back to the family. I mean, you can't ever leave the family. So, thankfully, he's just always been so generous with myself and my wife and our kids. And again, we have the same relationship with him and Margaret and their four kids. So our families are very close, and it just was a very natural fit. And I'm from outside of Chicago, so that also puts me back closer to home, to my parents, and closer to my Chicago White Sox as well.
Now, the staff that you're joining, everybody on the staff has head coaching experience. How much does that sort of give you a leg up to bounce ideas off of each other?
Yeah, you know, it's a really neat thing that we have, and I think that's something that's unique about Fran. You know, he's very confident, and he likes for guys to bring, you know, ideas to the table, and he doesn't mind. I mean, you know, I've got now 14 years of college, you know, head coaching experience, and, you know, Sherman Diller's got, you know, 10 years plus, and Kirk Spiro's got almost 20 years. So to have that, you know, sitting on the bench next to you, and, you know, what it really says is that Fran likes independent thinkers. He likes guys who are creative and can bring some new ideas, fresh ideas. And, you know, we've all taught in different ways, you know, but we're all self-starters. We're all motivated. We're all looking for ways to help the program be better. So that's exciting, you know, having an opportunity to, again, just to share ideas with, you know, a great coaching staff, and that doesn't even mention, you know, Al Seibert, who was a Division II head coach as well. You know, we've got a lot of experience and a lot of guys that have sat in that seat where there's a lot of pressure and understand, you know, what Fran's battling every single day, you know, as he leads the Hawkeyes.
Iowa assistant basketball coach Billy Taylor with us on the Todd Brownell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. Take me back to the first time that you ever crossed paths with Fran. You probably would have were a player at Notre Dame, right?
Yeah, so I mean, I would have been probably the first time we connected. I would have been a sophomore in high school, so you know, probably almost 30 years ago now. At this point, when Fran was recruiting me, and he was the assistant coach that was primarily recruiting me, and you know, I remember kind of meeting him and going to Notre Dame and just being impressed with, you know, not only Fran but Digger Phelps and kind of the whole Irish program. So. You know, again, Fran's very impressive, and you know, he was able to really kind of introduce to me, you know, what was attractive about that situation at Notre Dame. So, you know, our relationship, you know, kind of building that up, you know, as a 15-year-old, and Fran getting to know my parents through the recruiting process, and just building that relationship, and one that has been maintained for such a long time.
Yeah, what is it about him that you've sort of, I don't want to say hitched your wagons to him, but as you said, this is the third stop you're making with him.
Yeah, I think there's a comfort and a trust that we have with each other. Again, I know in terms of as a head coach, I know what kind of leader he is, I know what kind of man he is, I know his values. And, you know, we've seen a lot of crazy things in you know, these past couple of years with college basketball. And you have to be able to surround yourself with people that you can trust and that you know that they have your back and they're going to support you. And again, there's a lot of things that are not very good about college athletics. But Fran McCaffrey is top shelf. He is high class. He does things the right way. And we have those same values in terms of, you know, we're going to do it the right way, and, you know, we want to win at a high level, and we're competitive, but we're going to do it the right way. We won't take shortcuts. So, you know, going and really, if you look at my track record, you know, my history, you know, Fran is the only, you know, head coach that I've worked for. I worked for John McLeod, my college coach, for one season, but beyond that, it's only been Fran. And again, I just think there's a trust that I know what I'm going to get with Fran, and he knows what he's going to get from me. And he knows, you know, as an assistant coach, he knows how I'm going to work and how I'm going to represent the program and really try to go out and do the best job for the Hawkeyes and get us the best prospects and you know, care and love our student-athletes and help serve them in a meaningful way.
How much does your time here from 2013 to 2015 help you kind of get on the ground running this time around?
Yeah, you know, it's very unique because, you know, a lot of times in college athletics, you don't get another opportunity to go back to a place. Pretty much when you leave, you know, you leave. And, you know, it says something about the University of Iowa and the kind of athletics program that we have and the type of place that it is that we're able to come back and that we wanted to come back. And it really speaks, you know, volumes in terms of, you know, helping to kind of jumpstart things the second time around. And, you know, from the little things like, you know, doctor's offices and dentists and kind of, you know, knowing your way around, knowing where, you know, obviously where we lived last time and kind of the area that we'd like to live again, those things just make it a lot easier. And when you're talking about a transition, you know, not only for myself, it's, you know, having a comfort coming to work and knowing, you know, the people that I work with, but also more importantly for my family, you know, for my wife and for our kids, you know, as they transition, you know, back and they've got friends here in Iowa City, and my wife, she's got friends here. So I just think having those relationships and being able to come back and celebrate coming back to a place that we were really very fond of is something that's exciting, and it's something that we don't normally get a chance to do.
So what's your sales pitch when you're out on the recruiting trail? Sell me on the University of Iowa.
Well, I think first and foremost, it starts with the head coach. I mean, it's all about the man you're playing for. And, you know, to play for, you know, a man like Fran McCaffrey, someone who's got great values, someone who's got morals, bright, you know, intellectual, and he loves his players, you know. And, you know, does he get mad at some officials every now and then? Yeah, okay, he'll get on them, but he's always, you know, fighting for his guys. He's always fighting for our players. And, you know, again, that was something that meant a lot to me as a student athlete, you know, having someone that, again, has your back and that's going to do it the right way. And when you're talking about the University of Iowa, you know, it's the Big Ten. It's elite-level basketball, and we essentially, you know, we're fortunate in that with no professional sports teams, you know, in the state of Iowa, you know, we look at ourselves as a professional sports organization in terms of the level of competition and the following, the fan base, you know, having Hawkeye fans from, you know, the far western part of the state to the eastern edge. So, you know, to have this opportunity to play on a big national stage, you know, every game nationally televised, you know, the following we have is very special. And it's a, you know, it's a blessing and it's a great opportunity. And the guys that have been able to maximize that experience have then gone on to play professionally or go on to achieve a lot of other, you know, terrific things. So it's a kind of place that's very special. And I think when people come here and they see it, you know, once they get on campus here to Iowa City and they see it and they're like, wow, you know, there's that wow factor that we have here. So we're excited about what we can do, what we can accomplish, and, you know, how we can hopefully continue to recruit at the highest level for the Hawks.
How quickly were you able to get acclimated with the roster?
You know, it was actually a lot easier, again, because it was the second time around for me. You know, I'd gotten a chance to know some of the guys like Jordan Bohannon kind of through the recruitment and signing process and, so you know, campus visits. So I already had a relationship with Jordan, had a little bit of a relationship with Luca Garza when he came on his visit. Joe Wieskamp, you know, signed or committed very early, so Joe was on campus quite a bit. So it was actually really nice to see familiar faces, guys that I already knew. Cordell Pemsel, you know, got a chance to, you know, establish a relationship with him kind of the first time around. And then you factor in, you know, Connor and Patrick McCaffrey, and, you know, Connor, someone who I've known, you know, since he was 2 years old, and then Patrick, who's my godson. So, I mean, just having that kind of comfort in terms of knowing the roster and knowing guys a little bit. And then obviously I've been, you know, watching the Hawks even while I was away, so kind of following and seeing what guys have been doing. But now to be back here and to be working with these guys and looking for opportunities to serve them and hopefully help them become the best version of themselves both on and off the court.
You mentioned knowing Joe Wieskamp back to his days in the recruiting process. That's a guy you could tell he was going to be a very, very good player early on, had an outstanding freshman season. But what in the way of potential and upside do you see from him moving forward?
Yeah, you know, Joe is an interesting player because he's always just been mature beyond his years. And that also translates to his basketball game. You know, he is just, his game is very mature. He understands how to attack, when to attack. You know, he can obviously knock down threes. He's got great range. His size gives him an ability to slash to the basket and finish, you know, at and above the rim. And then, you know, he plays both ends. And again, in today's game, you know, you've got to be able to not only, you know, make shots and make plays, but you got to be able to guard. You have to be able to guard, you know, multiple positions. And with Joe's, you know, size and length, you know, really gives him a chance to be successful. So I'm excited, you know, to see how his game continues to grow and develop. And certainly wasn't surprised when he stepped up and performed well for the Hawks last year. We're certainly expecting big things from him. And he's just such a great kid. He's so humble. He's so hardworking. He's kind of, you know, exactly what we love to have here at the University of Iowa in terms of a guy that just goes about his business. You know, he just comes to work every single day. You know, he doesn't need the fanfare. He doesn't need all the adulation. And as a result of it, he gets it all because he's just such a good young man that plays the game the right way, can make threes, can score in different ways. Just excited to get a chance to continue to work with him and kind of see where his game develops and evolves to.
At this point, are you guys pretty much preparing for life without Jordan next year, or is it still up in the air?
Well, you know, Jordan Bohannon is as you know, he's one tough individual. I think of my first day that I got hired, I was able to go over and visit with him in the hospital and just kind of reconnect with him. And he's got a great family, great support system. And, for a lot of people, they would say, okay, that's it for a season. But Jordan Bohannon's a tough young man. And if he's able to get himself back and that's what he's passionate about doing, then he'll do it. So I think, you know, at this point, we're kind of leaving it up to Jordan and our athletic trainer, Brad Floyd, and the doctors, and making sure that we get him back right, that he's healthy and that he can, you know, maximize his senior year and really go out, you know, in a big way for the Hawkeyes. But he's a tough young man. He's endured quite a bit of pain. So, getting him back on the floor healthy, so that he can lead us, you know, is really important for us. And he's just been such an integral part of what we've done, and we want to get him out there so he can really finish his career on a really high note.
Last question before we let you go, Billy. White Sox going to get back to 500 anytime soon?
Yeah, you know, we're tracking that way. You know, it's been exciting to see my Sox. I noticed you guys glanced over it earlier, so I do appreciate you coming back to it. I'm a Sox guy, so I'm excited that we're playing some better ball. And hopefully we can continue to trend that way as we move towards the All-Star break and, you know, maybe make a run at that wild card.
Billy Taylor, appreciate you joining the program. Good to have you back in the fold, Coach. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you.
And before you know it, it will be time for Hawkeye basketball again as we're getting ready to start the countdown to kickoff for football season on Friday.
We will start on Friday.
So we're a little over 2 weeks out from Big Ten Football Media Day, but it seems like every year football is just getting underway, and basketball, it's sort of like the primary and caucus calendar for those of you who follow presidential politics. It just seems earlier and earlier every cycle. But great to have Billy with us, and you heard him there. Jordan Bohannon he's a tough character, but I think if given the choice, he would like to play his final season as a Hawkeye fully healthy and get as many games in as possible. But if Iowa exceeds expectations and he's able to play and he could be a difference maker, I also think I know exactly what he would choose to do if it came to the point where maybe in January and he had not played but was able to come back in time for Big Ten play to make a difference for Iowa, that he would choose to do that. So learn some stuff about Billy that I didn't know. Assume he was a West Aurora guy, so being a White Sox fan, that's not a huge surprise, but Patrick McCaffrey's godfather.
I did not know that either.
Which I don't know whether that's ever been reported or not. So this is a guy, you heard him sophomore year of high school, the first time that he crossed paths with Fran McCaffrey when Fran was on John McLeod's staff at Notre Dame and has had a long standing relationship with him. This is now the third stop, UNC Greensboro, Iowa as a director of basketball operations for 3 seasons, and now as a full-fledged assistant coach. So we've talked before about, speaking of the Godfather references, Fran McCaffrey sort of tightening that circle around him and bringing in people that he trusts, and Billy Taylor very, very, very clearly fits that fold. Great segment with him, and happy to have him on. So hopefully you Hawkeye basketball fans enjoyed that. 319-366-1600 is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, and I think the White Sox have a shot at getting back to 500. They're starting to put the pieces together. Lucas Giolito has been outstanding. Eloy
they just
Jimenez
need another starting pitcher. That's what they've needed.
Them and half of Major League Baseball at this point. The Minnesota Twins, who you will hear tonight on 107.5 FM, they need relief pitching for the most part. They take on the Tampa Bay Rays. Again, that game coming your way tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, your home all summer long for Minnesota Twins baseball. 4:51, we'll take a quick timeout. And when we return, Alex's Stanley Cup champions have extended the contract to their head coach. We'll give you the details after this.
The John Deere Classic is more than golf. It's a week filled with friends, food, fun, a youth clinic, and an amazing charity concert with Dustin Lynch. It's the event that's delivered over $100 million to local charities since 1971. And yes, there's great golf, too. Pretty. Sweet.
Oh, I like that.
Stuff.
Yes.
Magic does happen here. Get tickets at johndeereclassic.com or call 309-762-GOLF. Hurry, they're going fast.
Are you ready for a smart-rocking summer of 2019? Here's your summer checklist. Beach towels, beach balls, and beach apparel. Check. Smart rock. Check. Grilling utensils. Check. Live music and deeper tracks of smart rock. Check. Vacation plans. Check. Smart FM app for your mobile device. Check. There. You are now ready to smart rock your way through the summer of 19. Smart FM.
The Home Depot is making finding your color and choosing the right paint easier than ever. With curated palettes of this year's most popular colors and new paint selection tools online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Now get a colorful new experience with the Home Depot's paint expertise and selection of top quality brands, colors, and finishes. Get your paint project done right with gallons of Behr Premium Plus from just $24.98 at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. Soon you'll have a separate fridge in the basement, where extra groceries are exiled forever. Remember that frozen lasagna? Of course you don't. It's been down there since 2008. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Piece of cake. Behind the lasagna. It's very old. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
O'Reilly. Have everything you need for your next oil change? Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and save on 5 quarts of Castrol GTX conventional motor oil and a MicroGuard filter for $24.99. Plus, earn triple O rewards points. Protect your engine with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that next job done. At AutoZone, we have the free services you need to do it right. Like our free AutoZone Loaner Tool Program. It's simple. You choose from over 100 specialty tools, borrow the one you need, and get the job done right. The best part? It's all free. Our tools even come with operating instructions, so you'll know exactly how to use them. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. Deposit required. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Each morning, people wake and smile when they see the sun. Not the one in the sky, a little picture of the sun on the prescription bottles from CVS Pharmacy. It makes knowing when to take your medication clear as day. Up to 50% of people don't take them properly. So we're just trying to help more people have more mornings. To wake and smile when they see the sun. Not the one on the bottle, the one in the sky. Includes only prescriptions from CVS Pharmacy.
At Fidelity, we believe nothing should come between you and your money. So we're introducing zero account fees with zero minimums to open an account. All because we want you to invest with zero trade-offs. Visit fidelity.com/value to learn more. Zero account minimums and zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Expenses charged by investments such as funds and managed accounts and for commissions, interest charges, or other expenses for transactions may still apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, member NYSE, SIPC.
The best of Golic and Wingo podcast.
And I'm going to throw a wild one out there for you guys, because I've thought about this a lot over the last couple of weeks. Don't count out the New York Jets.
I'm glad you said that, man. Yeah. The Jets.
Listen, I'm counting them out. I'm not.
Okay, it's no, fine.
That's going to be the second best team in that division.
Without
which
question.
We know is obviously a large gap between
right, the second best team in the division was 7-9 last year.
They've always given the Patriots a tough time at their stadium. The Jets could sneak into the playoffs.
The best of Golic and Wingo podcast on the ESPN app and Apple Podcasts.
If you're planning on a home remodel or upgrading the windows in your home, make sure you check out the all-new window line at the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street in Iowa City. Alexander Lumber bringing you your next big board update in 30 minutes with our producer, Kyle Mann. Welcome back in. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a beautiful Tuesday here in Eastern Iowa. The Colonels are back in town tonight, kicking off a 7-game homestand. It's essentially 9 games in 11 days because they take a 2-day break because of the 4th of July holiday, where the Midwest League guarantees teams will be home on one of 2 days surrounding the 4th of July. But this will be, for all intents and purposes, a 7-game homestand. First of 4 games tonight with the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, the Class A affiliate of the Milwaukee Brewers, at Veterans Memorial Stadium. The Timber Rattlers featuring Corey Howell, the former Kirkwood standout who was headed to the University of Iowa before he was drafted by the Brewers. So good opportunity to get out there and enjoy that nice weather tonight before it gets to be too terribly hot. I mentioned going into the break that the St. Louis Blues have locked up their man. You win a Stanley Cup. You win the franchise's first Stanley Cup ever. You probably deserve another couple years, and that's yes. What the Blues have decided to give Craig Berube, the former Philadelphia Flyers head coach who was tabbed as the interim coach midway through the season. All he did was lead St. Louis to a 38-19-6 regular season record, including a third-place finish in the Central Division, and from January 1st to the end of the regular season, St. Louis 30-10-5.
It's sort of strange this offseason. Craig Berube, who really, he had a couple of seasons in Philadelphia. There wasn't much to talk about in those two seasons. He was done after 2 years, and he wins a Stanley Cup with the Blues as the interim coach. So you have to pay him. You have to keep him around. And the same thing goes for the goaltender, Jordan Binnington, who came up this year, had never played in the NHL. They have to sign him. They have to bring him back in the fold too. So you're sort of caught between, was this a one-year wonder? Was this a great run? And also not caring about that because that 1 year ended in the franchise's first championship.
Craig Berube, 3-year deal today announced. That's the good news coming out of St. Louis. The bad news is that Cardinals closer Jordan Hicks is undergoing Tommy John surgery tomorrow. Hour number one is in the book. Stick around with us in hour number two because we're going to take you to the movies. Charles Barkley has weighed in on the plans to make a sequel/remake of an all-time classic movie. He's not a fan of it. We'll tell you about it when we return after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Cardinals closer Jordan Hicks will undergo Tommy John surgery, so his 2019 season is over. That surgery could also put some or all of his 2020 season in jeopardy. Raptors president of basketball operations, Masai Ujiri, is staying with the team he built into an NBA champion. Ujiri's focus now in Toronto, holding on to NBA Finals MVP Kawhi Leonard, who will become a free agent. Leonard, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, the three players the Knicks going all in on this summer. If they strike out with that trio, New York's ready for another reset, says ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski.
They are certainly coming from way behind on Leonard. After that, I'm told they're not interested in going out and maxing out one of that next tier of free agents. You may see them do, if they miss out on those star players, look at some one-year, you know, maybe big number one-year deals, go back into free agency next year and start building again around this, you know, the young pieces.
NFL Bengals first-round pick, offensive tackle Jonah Williams, likely out the entire 2019 season after shoulder surgery. Stanley Cup champion Blues signed coach Craig Berube to a 3-year contract.
Coming up Wednesday, less than a week away now from NBA free agency. So if you were the Nets, do you still want Kyrie, even if KD isn't coming with him? Plus, the results of a debate that had Golic fired up.
You broke the huddle 3 seconds ago.
Golic and Wingo Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
This SportsCenter update was brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, celebrating 15 years of service.
Hi, this is Steve Anderson with Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services. For a while now, you've heard me proclaim my obsession with our beloved Hawkeyes. But my Hawkeye obsession pales in comparison to our obsession with providing you efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling commercial property or buying your first home. Sure, we love our Hawkeyes, but helping you is our passion. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City and HawkeyeTitle.com. The team you love, the people you trust.
Imagining a better bank starts with looking at the savings rates most banks offer and saying, really? Capital One is building something better. You can open a Capital One savings account with one of the nation's best savings rates from anywhere, like here, or here, or here. One of the nation's best savings rates, opened online, at a Capital One location, or from anywhere. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
Twins and the Rays, always a tough team to beat anywhere, but especially at Target Field. A three-game series begins on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis, Kyle Gibson, Blake Snell. Good pitching matchup for Game 1 on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
5:02, welcome back in. It's the Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Tuesday night here at 1600 AM. As well as 106.3 FM, our South Gym in Iowa City, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. Also online at KGYMradio.com, where you can vote in our poll question today surrounding Game 2 of the College World Series in Omaha. Is it okay to root for Michigan tonight, especially if you're a Hawkeye fan? Your options are yes or never. Poll questions brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Lots more to get to on the program tonight, including Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports. He'll be with us in a matter of 15 to 20 minutes. Iowa State also has been very busy on the football recruiting trail. We spent yesterday with Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com getting caught up on Iowa's commitments, and the Hawkeyes added the first member. There was it 2022? I keep
2022, yes.
I'm getting way ahead of myself here, but the Hawkeyes picking up their first commitment. So high school sophomore?
Going into his sophomore season or his sophomore year, right?
Follow your dreams. And as his coach told Rob Howe, Alabama could come calling and he wants to be a Hawkeye. But that's you got to have a pretty solid head on your shoulders at that age to be making a decision like that and have the gumption to stick with it.
That is so early to get a scholarship offer. But some prospects that you can tell are going
to
be
not according to Jim Harbaugh.
Well, that's true.
Jim Harbaugh would. He and Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin has offered an eighth grader before. In fact, David Sills, the outstanding receiver from West Virginia, was offered by Lane Kiffin, I think, as an eighth grader as a quarterback.
Don't give P.J. Fleck any ideas. He'd be out there making offers, and then Iowa can come in and steal a recruit away from him again.
Okay, is the knock against P.J. Fleck that he offers a bunch of guys and doesn't stick to his offers, pulls the offer away? Is he one of those guys?
I think that's probably fair to say, and I know Iowa State's taken some slings and arrows, especially from Iowa fans in the number, because it's not necessarily all that secret. Rivals and 24/7 Sports usually do a pretty good job of rounding up the offers that are extended by schools, and we've seen Matt Campbell throw out a lot of offers there. P.J. Fleck has done the same thing, and that's the seedy underside of college football that the people don't really like to talk about a whole lot.
No.
Because it happens in a lot of places
all the time
where offers get thrown out and you get coaches using kids as leverage against one another. Your offer is there, but it may not be there tomorrow because I'm going to talk to Timmy Perkins from the high school down the road and he's going to get the same offer and you play the same position. So if you want to pull the trigger, you better do it now. I mean,
I've seen it firsthand.
It's just
literally firsthand. I've seen it.
Yeah, it's not a great aspect of the game, and it's one that I think most people can claim ignorance on, except for people who follow recruiting hardcore. And there are a number of folks out there who do follow along and pay attention, and they understand the game inside the game when it comes to recruiting. But we'll see how things continue to build for the Hawkeyes and Cyclones. Again, Alex is going to be with us coming up in just a few minutes. We'll also tonight in the 6 o'clock hour discuss the best players you saw before they were stars. Genesis behind that, a tweet from Minor League Baseball earlier today asking that same question. But I wanted to get to this before we chat with Alex, because if you've listened to the program before, you know that I love weaving in pop culture and sports, especially this time of year when maybe there isn't a whole lot of fruit on the tree. Charles Barkley has opened his mouth once again, and as often does when he does that, it makes headlines and gives us something to talk about here. And no, as you brought up, Alex, in the 4 o'clock hour, this has nothing to do with LeVar Ball, although I agree with Charles Barkley on his take there. I agree with him on his take here as well. Charles Barkley was unaware that they are shooting a sequel to the movie Space Jam, the movie made famous by Michael Jordan a couple decades ago with Bugs Bunny and the Looney Tunes, the Monstars. This one's going to star LeBron James. Charles Barkley was in the original movie, and this was brought up to him by Entertainment Tonight. He said he was not aware. He was asked if his opinion has changed since it was first brought to his attention, and he said, not at all. Listen, I don't care. Space Jam 1 was amazing. We don't need 2. And that got me thinking, because as we've discussed here before, there are no original thoughts left in Hollywood anymore. It's just we churn out remakes of remake. They're already doing a reboot of the Ghostbusters reboot, which was very controversial because the Ghostbusters reboot featured the all-female cast, and that just made heads explode. And now there's a reboot of that movie. Give me a movie that absolutely needs to stand alone for all time. No more sequels, no more remakes. 319-366-1600. I'm with Charles Barkley on this. Space Jam's a good movie. Just leave it alone. You don't need to remake it every 20 years with new NBA players in it.
Well, usually, like, what is the statute of limitations for a remake?
Like, can they make money off it? Can they make money off it? If they think they can make money off it, they'll do a remake.
So even 20 years later, it's totally okay to do a remake of a movie. You would think that they'd be able to make more money off of it if they did it within, I don't know, 5 years? But waiting 20 years, they're going to do a remake with a different person. And yeah, I get it. LeBron James. LeBron James is the draw. But it's also been 20 years. The movie that I think needs no sequel, stand alone sports movie, Happy Gilmore. I'm glad they haven't messed with that.
They will eventually. I see 6665 on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line is bringing up the Goonies. I have bad news for you, because I think this summer there is going to be a Goonies sequel. You've always got to be careful here whether it's a sequel or a prequel, but I think this is a sequel. Goonies 2 is coming out at some point this year. The Goonies was made in 1985, featured the Fratellis. It's a good movie. Chunk, Truffle Shuffle, Sloth.
That was sort of a movie that was on the fringe of me in my time. I've seen it before. I never was drawn in by that movie the way other people were.
The Goonies is a major part of my childhood. I love the Goonies.
I think I just missed out on the hype around
it. If you've ever been to the Blom Brothers Distillery in Galena, Illinois, and you take the distillery tour, as I have a couple times, the still there in Galena is nicknamed Chester Copperpot because it's copper still. I took that directly from the Goonies. Anne in Solon says no movie starring Jimmy Stewart should ever be remade. You're showing your age there, Anne, but I agree. Let's go to the phone lines. Chip in Cedar Rapids wants to join the conversation. Chip, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. What's on your mind?
Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction is a... that. Put that one in the vault and don't touch it.
Agreed.
The Big Lebowski is the same way. You can't... these movies that just strike a chord because of, pretty much anything Quentin Tarantino has done. But these movies that strike a chord that are unique, don't remake them just for the sake of remaking them, where you recast them or you do the all-female version or you do the all-African-American version. Just let's try to get a little bit more creative than coming up with Weekend at Bernie's 7 or whatever, where they come up with another implausible situation for the corpse.
1577, I think, has the best one yet, The Sandlot. The fact that they tried to make a Sandlot 2. Did you guys know that there is a Sandlot 2?
I'm going to...
oh, that's right. You hate The Sandlot. I forgot about this.
No, I'm going to plead blissful ignorance on this.
There is a Sandlot 2.
Let me guess. The kids grow up.
I'd have not
watched
it.
And they come back to the Sandlot, and some investment banker has bought that land, and they're going to put up like a frozen yogurt place on it. And the kids band together. They're not kids anymore. They're young adults or successful young adults. And they band together and they throw a monkey wrench into the plans of the evil property developer to ruin the Sandlot. And then at the end, the big dog comes back again.
Spoiler alert.
Is that... did I just write a sequel to a movie that maybe already has one? Or did I do a better job of coming up with a sequel?
I'm pretty sure you just... covered the script from beginning to end verbatim.
See, I grew up watching all these 80s movies, and I know every cliche that you could possibly throw in there. Is there an actual Sandlot 2?
There is a Sandlot 2.
And do you have the synopsis of what that movie is about?
Let me see if I can find a good one.
I'm telling you, evil developer comes in and wants to build a frozen yogurt place on top of the Sandlot. And, of course, James Earl Jones's character is gone at this point, but the kids come back. Maybe it's for a wedding, and they realize, oh, no, the Sandlot's going to be turned into a frozen yogurt place.
And you ready for it?
I have no idea that there was a Sandlot 2, because I'm not particularly a big fan of the first one. I'm familiar with it. I have watched it. Is my idea better or worse than the Sandlot 2? Give me the real version.
Todd, your idea is exponentially better than the actual script of the movie.
If any movie calls for the kids to come back as adults, just scrap it. Nobody's interested in that storyline.
It's a completely different cast. It's completely different characters.
Nope.
In this sequel of the 1993 box office hit The Sandlot, it's 1972, and a new bunch of neighborhood kids have taken over the field where they play baseball all summer. Saul is the unofficial leader of the group who heads up the baseball team and looks after his younger brother Sammy, who can't hear, but does play-by-play on the games using sign language. Saul has to face the indignity of letting girls play on his team, but things get even worse when one of them brings her dad's toy rocket to the field. The model accidentally sails over the fence and into the yard of our old friend Mr. Myrtle, played by James Earl Jones.
So they've replaced the ball from the original cast with a model rocket.
Sorry. It goes on. Owner of the meanest dog in town, leaving the kids with a serious dilemma about getting it back. Wow. That's an original plot.
Yeah, I like my version better.
I do too.
I got to admit. Right now, there's some young screenwriter out there that's rushing to put that together. And I guess it would be the Sandlot.
Can we please just get the frozen yogurt?
It would be the Sandlot 3. I guess, since Sandlot 2 is already... we have a lot of people on the text line that are essentially saying they would revolt if anybody ever came for Field of Dreams.
That does not surprise me.
If you reshot Field of Dreams, and I'm trying to think of how you could possibly... the worst way possible that you could ruin that movie in 2019. Give me one of the... Give me an actor, a present-day actor, who would just be so out of place in Kevin Costner's role.
Hmm.
People just, there's no way, even if you had a free pass on opening night, that you would go see that.
Kevin Spacey.
And yeah, nobody's buying tickets to see Kevin Spacey anytime soon. I can, how about Joey from Friends or something? Speaking of dating yourself, throwing any reference to the cast of Friends, other than, of course, the goddess Jennifer Aniston. 517, let's go back to the phone lines. Jeremy in Cedar Rapids. Jeremy, what do you got?
I'm just kind of tagging along with the Sandlot discussion. There's not only a second Sandlot, but there's a third Sandlot as well.
There's a so Jeremy, you're breaking news to me right now.
So I've just sold Sandlot 4, is basically.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Have you seen the third one?
I woke up at like 2 a.m. and it was on my television. I watched 10 minutes of it.
It sounds like straight to the small screen. That's usually never good for those types of movies.
It was not a good movie in those 10 minutes that I saw.
Ann says Zac Efron, by the way. Thank you, Jeremy. Zac Efron recast in the role of Ray Kinsella.
Do I have to find the synopsis for Sandlot 3 now? Actually, it's not even Sandlot 3. You know Major League, where it was Major League 1, Major League, Major League 2, and then they didn't even name it Major League 3. It was Back to the Minors. The Sandlot 3 is The Sandlot Heading Home, 2007. A self-absorbed slugger whose egotistical attitude threatens to bring the whole team down gets a second chance at learning the value of teamwork in the third installment of the kid-friendly Sandlot series. Tommy is a Major League Baseball star whose impressive stats have gone to his head. One day, while stepping up to the plate for another, hit a home run hit, Tommy is beamed by a speeding fastball that knocks him clean unconscious. Awakening to discover that he has been mysteriously transported back to the scrappy Sandlot where he first discovered his love of the game.
Oh.
12-year-old Tommy is, oh, God, I'm done.
Come down with a case of the flu, or my heart has just warmed like 10 degrees just hearing that touching story. Somebody on the text line just said Rookie of the Year. That's the movie where Henry Rowan Gardner breaks his arm and then pitches for the Cubs. Thomas Ian Nicholas wants to make a sequel to that. I don't know
Let's not do that.
He would be an aging veteran. Maybe he's got a knuckleball at this point.
But he lost his arm because it healed. Remember, he broke his arm because of the broken arm. Something fused back together funny to make his arm whip really quickly so he could throw the ball 99 miles an hour as an 11-year-old. Right?
We are casting the movies now on the text line, and I do like John saying LeVar Ball playing the role of James Earl Jones in the Sandlot.
Never lost.
You know what? I would buy a ticket for that.
I've got to admit.
I do like people putting out movies that they think shouldn't be remade or sequels made of them when those sequels exist. That's usually another good sign that the sequel or the remake shouldn't have been made in the first place. Did you know, speaking of movies that I think are sort of falling into that cult classic category, Scrooged, starring Bill Murray. If Bill Murray has ever appeared in a movie, don't you dare touch it. I saw scuttlebutt that they were thinking about remaking Scrooged, which I've got to admit that I'm out on. You couldn't get away with that movie. He wants to take a stapler and staple the antlers to the little mouse. Do you remember that in the movie? You do that nowadays, you'd have 36 states boycotting it. 520, you can join the conversation, 319-366-1600. Charles Barkley is absolutely correct. There should not be a remake/sequel to Space Jam. He's not going to be a part of it, but in addition to LeBron James, you have...
It's got to be the new players in the NBA, right? Because that's what made it. Those guys lost their abilities.
Steph Curry and Giannis Antetokounmpo have all declined. But Damian Lillard is reportedly in, as is Anthony Davis and Klay Thompson, along with LeBron James.
Remember when Sean Bradley was in the first one? And he lost his ability... and he really never had any to begin with.
You could have just stopped with remember Sean Bradley, and I think most of our texters and listeners would have actually paused to remember whether or not Sean Bradley was ever a thing. The answer, unfortunately, is yes.
I mean, he was on every poster available to the public.
I am aware, because I to this day, probably still at my parents' house, my mom's house, I'm still getting used to saying that, have a stack of Sean Bradley rookie cards, because I should have known from guys like Manute Bol that just because you're really tall doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a superstar player in the NBA.
There's such
but
thing
I invested
as too
heavily.
Tall.
That's don't ever take financial advice from me, because I'm just going to tell you to go out and put all your money in Tim Hardaway rookie cards, like when I was 10 or 11 years old. 319-366-1600. Shawshank Redemption is an excellent movie that should not be touched. Any of the Stephen King movies, and the Shawshank Redemption is a Stephen King work, with the exception of the ones where Stephen King did not like the adaptation. I don't think he liked Stanley Kubrick's version of The Shining, if I recall correctly. He was not a big fan of that movie. But Shawshank Redemption's up there. Field of Dreams. I honestly think the state of Iowa would riot if anybody tried to remake Field of Dreams.
Yes.
Especially
yes,
if you
would.
Especially if you moved it and you set the sequel like Annie, who's the daughter? Annie was the wife. The daughter. She moves to like Nebraska. And then you'd have this, the entire state of Iowa would be rebelling at that point. So Shawshank Redemption, Field of Dreams, The Big Lebowski. We've had some pretty good suggestions here, but Charles Barkley says no to Space Jam 2. And he says we don't need it, which I completely agree. We don't. What we need is for people to come up with good, unique, good original movie ideas instead of just expecting us to fork over. I mean, what, it's a $10-$12 to go to a movie now, right?
I haven't been in forever, so I would not know. I don't remember the last movie I went
and
to in theaters.
Eddie Murphy in the Clumps Part 9 or whatever, and nobody wants to see that.
Are we just trying to? I think that we need LeBron James in a movie. I do.
I'm starting to think we need to see LeVar Ball.
LeVar Ball has to be a part of it. No, I want to see LeBron James branch out a little bit. It's time in his career to get into a little bit of acting. I think that I'm all for it, but let's let him leave his own legacy, have his own movie. He's not playing a freaking genie. Shaq's already done that. Why does he have to follow in Michael's footsteps and remake a classic that's already been made?
We have another great example on the text line, 9147, never remake Spaceballs. That's a Mel Brooks movie, for those of you who have no sense of humor. They spoofed the title of the second movie at the end, and it was going to be called Spaceballs 2, The Quest for More Money. It's impossible to remake. I want to say that Rick Moranis was actually kicking around the idea of coming out of retirement to actually make that movie. But I don't know whether it ever got off the ground or not. But that would actually sort of interest me, because to play off of the joke that was put there at the end, why not? 319-366-1600. You go down, touch the Mel Brooks canon of movies. You couldn't, because if you remade them today, you'd have to completely and totally sanitize them. I've mentioned this a million times. Can you come up with a version of Blazing Saddles that gets made today? Not only made today, but a wide theatrical release where people accept that movie and some of the things that are in it?
No chance.
Nah, no way. Plus, Alex Karras is gone, and the late, great Hawkeye. There is only one Mongo. He was, unfortunately, a pawn in the game of life. 526, we need to take a quick timeout. We'll bring Kyle in for a big board update, and then we'll talk Cyclone football recruiting and more with Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports. Back with more after this.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired, but your guests do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Drywall, painting, general carpentry, kitchens, countertops, and alterations, and remodeling to business properties. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
See their work and get in touch at jacksonremodel.com.
Trying to take back your space and have old appliances, grills, and lawnmowers that don't work anymore and old tires in your garage or basement? Bring them to the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency. Starting July 1st, appliances, scrap metal, and tires will only be accepted at 1954 County Home Road in Marion, the same location as the landfill and resource recovery building, so you can take care of all your disposal and recycling in one trip. Some items have a drop-off fee, so get pricing and other details at Solid Waste Agency.
Nobody beats our prices at Menards, so you can save big money on giving your home a fresh new look, indoors and out. Get superior performance with Dutch Boy Max Bond Exterior Paint and Primer in One, or Dutch Boy Platinum Plus Interior Paint and Primer in One. Save $15 a gallon after rebate. Prices good through July 6th. Save on Dutch Boy Paint and more. Now during Menards 4th of July sale.
Save big money at Menards.
Did you know that motorcycles are vehicles with the same rights and privileges as any other motor vehicle on the roadway? Safe riding practices and cooperation from all road users will help reduce the number of fatalities and injuries on our nation's highways. Because motorcycles are smaller than most vehicles, they can be difficult to see. Their size can also cause other drivers to misjudge their speed and distance. All motorists are reminded to safely share the road and to be extra alert. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Twins and the Rays, always a tough team to beat anywhere, but especially at Target Field. A three-game series begins on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis, Kyle Gibson, Blake Snell. Good pitching matchup for Game 1 on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Just like KGYM, Third Base is locally owned and operated. It's a great place for families to meet up again and again, maybe grab a quick lunch or to catch a game after work. You can even bring your family in for an affordable and delicious meal. Third Base Brewery, proud to sponsor the gym class Monday through Friday here on KGYM. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes for one more day. It's Mark Dukes and the voice that you'll hear next, our producer Kyle Mann, who fills in for Scott while he is on vacation. Kyle's got a big board update for you, brought to you by our friends at Alexander Lumber. You can check them out at their temporary location, 2802 Independence Road in Iowa City. Here's Kyle.
The Iowa football team's prolific recruiting run continued today with the first commitment in the class of 2022, meaning that the Hawkeyes have secured a pledge every day since last Friday, and that's 8 in total. Now, the class of 2022 isn't ranked yet by the major outlets, but defensive end Aaron Graves from Gowrey, Iowa may be a name you really want to remember. As a freshman last year, he had 67 tackles, 15 for loss, and 11 sacks, and now as a sophomore-to-be, he stands 6'4" and 230 pounds and is a standout in track as well as the Iowa Barnstormers basketball program. His high school coach told Rob Howe that Graves is solid in his commitment, saying, quote, "Alabama could come and it won't matter." Former Cyclone and new Chicago Bears running back David Montgomery received quite the honor this afternoon, being named the Big 12 Male Sports Person of the Year. He's just the second Cyclone to win the award, joining Kale Sanderson back in 2001. Former Hawkeye infielder Mason McCoy has been tearing it up with AA Bowie, and as such was named an Eastern League All-Star. He leads the Bay Sox with a .324 batting average after hitting .379 to start the year in Single-A. As a matter of fact, if you combine his numbers from both Frederick and Bowie, he's top five in hits in all of the minor leagues. The Colonels are back home for the first homestand of the second half, beginning with a four-game series with the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. 6'4", 260-pound, 20-year-old Kaiwei Tang from Taiwan is making the start tonight. He's 2-0 with the Colonels with 18 strikeouts in 14 innings. The Twins are also starting a homestand tonight with the surprising Tampa Bay Rays. It's Blake Snell and Kyle Gibson on the mound, and you can hear it on 107.5 FM The North, Jim.
I'm a big fan of the movie Fletch, and there was a sequel to Fletch. Chevy Chase was in it. It was called Fletch Lives. They are remaking Fletch with Jason Sudeikis in the role of Chevy Chase's Fletch.
Why is Jason Sudeikis just this guy that you just sort of throw in any role possible? And I feel like so many of his roles are just so out of place. He's always that out of place guy in a movie.
He was in We're the Millers, right? With Jennifer Aniston, a movie that I've only seen 9 or 10 times.
That's a good role for him.
8 times more than I should have, but there is that one scene with Jennifer Aniston, and if you've seen the movie, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't know. I'm sorry. I got sidetracked there for a moment. If anybody has a bucket of cold water, please bring it into the studio. I may need it. 5:32. I'm going to chat shortly with Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports. Iowa State has had a tremendous run on the recruiting trail as well, along with Iowa. Yesterday, we had Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com on with us to recap what Iowa has done. The Cyclones have, I believe, picked up 3 commitments over the weekend for Matt Campbell's 2020 recruiting class. We'll touch base shortly with Alex. And coming up in the 6 o'clock hour tonight, players you saw before they were stars, the best player you saw before they became a star. We'll look forward to that conversation as well. Michigan is playing Vanderbilt in Game 2 of the best-of-3 College World Series tonight. It's the subject of our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Will you cheer for Michigan tonight? Yes or never? Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's. And next to the Home Depot, bringing you today's poll question. Kumar Rocker.
Kumar Rocker is making the start just 2 starts after he threw a no-hitter in a Super Regional.
He is already the number one draft prospect in 2021. That's the next time that he'll be eligible for the Major League Baseball draft. So 2 years from now. And if you see him, he's just this big, hulking, physical. I don't want to say this. He reminds me a little bit of Alex Reyes when I look at him. Just a guy that you look at and you say, man, that guy can pitch. I bet that guy can pitch. And he can. And Michigan's going to go up against him tonight. And I have a feeling we're headed for a best-of-3 College World Series, which the third and final deciding game would be tomorrow in Omaha. But if you're a Hawkeye fan, definitely should be rooting for Michigan tonight, because a Michigan win would be good for all of the northern baseball schools and the Big Ten in particular, since the Big Ten has not won a College World Series since Ohio State pulled it off back in 1966. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. I was not expecting to have Sean Bradley brought up on the program tonight.
We're talking about Space Jam. Naturally, Sean Bradley's name is going to come up.
That is a blast from the past. I'm trying to think of other, maybe we could have gone the George Murison route, other freakishly tall NBA players from the late 90s, early 2000s. I think Murison is still with Washington's front office or somehow still works for them. I'm not quite sure. But there are days where I come in and I have no idea whether Cleavon Little or Sean Bradley will come up in conversations. Let's head back to the phone lines, though, and get back on track, as we promised you, a look at Iowa State's recent recruiting gets on the trail. Alex Halstead is with us of 24/7 Sports. And Alex, it's not just the Hawkeyes that have been making waves this past weekend on the recruiting trail. It was a good week for Matt Campbell and his staff as well. How you doing?
I'm doing good, yeah. They've been keeping me busy. This is kind of the time of the year where you start to see recruiting pick up, because the dead period started Monday. It's going to run through July 24th. So all these visits kind of got crammed in right before the dead period, and now you're seeing decisions come in. And like you said, Iowa State picked up 4 commits between afternoon Sunday and afternoon Monday. So in a 24-hour span, their class has now grown to 13.
Now, I know it's kind of been for everybody. You mentioned this time period before the dead period, but how much has this now been emphasized with the early signing period and the recruiting clock being pushed up a little bit?
Yeah, you're seeing classes just, they're a lot bigger this time of year. I think this time last year, Iowa State went into July with 16 or so. Right now they've got 13. There's still some kids that can make decisions within the next couple weeks. And so they're in a similar spot, but you see schools like Kansas is at 20 commits, and especially schools that have new coaching staffs, I think are bringing, they're trying to get kids in on visits and really sell something and create some hype, especially while you're 0-0. You know, you look at Kansas State and Kansas in the Big 12, I think I just mentioned Kansas has 20. I think Kansas State's up at 15 plus. And so you see these schools really trying to load up. And so it's definitely been emphasized, and I think that's why you're seeing commitments right now going into the dead period is now that these early official visits are happening, you're seeing a lot of kids who took official visits every weekend in June and then now have reached decisions because they're kind of at the end of that timeline. So it's sped up a lot, and there could still be some stuff coming in July for many of these schools, including Iowa State.
Alex Halstead with us from 24/7 Sports. Anytime you reel in a quarterback, that tends to pique the interest of the fan base. So what can you tell me about Hunter Deckers?
Yeah, really intriguing prospect, the kid that didn't have any offers really going into the summer, at least at the Power 5 level, but a 6'2", 220-pound quarterback from Western Iowa. He's actually, you know, he's from West Sioux, and he's actually basically on the border of South Dakota. And this is a kid that, you know, will enter a senior season this year with nearly 7,000 yards passing. He is actually on pace, you know, if he puts up even similar numbers to last year, he'd be the first quarterback in the state of Iowa history to throw for 10,000 yards in a career. So a kid that's had a lot of success out west, back-to-back state titles. But, you know, this is a kid that went in Kansas some places this summer and got offers from Kansas State, Purdue, Indiana. He was at Iowa State's camp on June 8th, and I was there and watched him. And he has a really good arm, and I think some people kind of look past the arm because he is a bigger-bodied quarterback who rushed for 500-plus yards last year. And I think at Iowa State's camp, he ran like a 4.6, 4.40. You know, so he's got some speed at his size. And, you know, the comparison, obviously, that comes is Joel Lanning. And, you know, people I've talked with say, you know, stylistically he compares to Lanning, but his arm is probably a little bit more advanced at this stage in his career. So he's an intriguing prospect, and it gives Iowa State two quarterbacks in this class, the other being Aiden Bowman up in Minnesota. And they're both lefties, but they're both different. You know, Bowman 6'5", and more of a pro-style guy. Hunter Deckers is more of a dual-threat quarterback.
We talked about the wide receiver position as one that was sort of a premium going into this year. They added LaMichael Petway to that group. What can you tell me about Xavier Hutchinson out of Blinn Junior College?
Yeah, Hutchinson's another big-bodied receiver. You're not seeing maybe the 6'5", 6'6", guys exactly like Hakeem Butler, but you're seeing a lot of 6'3", 6'4", guys. And Hutchinson is a JUCO receiver, as you mentioned, from down in, at Blinn College in Texas. You know, he's probably right near the top, being a top five JUCO receiver in the country. Had offers from TCU, Illinois, Arizona State, Utah. Iowa State had been kind of pushing for him for a little while. I talked to him, and they're really selling him on being that Hakeem Butler-like outside receiver, going up and catching balls one-on-one. That's a pretty talented receiver core there at Blinn College. One of his teammates is committed to TCU and is a top five receiver in the JUCO rankings as well. So he's splitting some time, but put up some good numbers last year. And he's going to be an important piece in 2020 because, you know, he graduates and will arrive at Iowa State in January as an early enrollee. And so he's going to have 3 years to play too. But I think the expectation is, like you said, with losing LaMichael Petway after this next year and losing DeSante Jones, that he's going to get an opportunity early in his career.
What can you tell me about Johnny Wilson, the defensive end commit? It looks like he had a pretty impressive list of schools that were in on him.
Yeah, this is a kid that I think it pays off to be early on him and to be first on him, but they've also started to make some more inroads in Kansas City because of assistant Nate Shielhouse, who was a four-star quarterback coming out of Kansas City back in the 2009 recruiting class. Obviously, he's now on the staff at Iowa State, and he's recruited Kansas City pretty hard for them. But Johnny Wilson's a kid that they offered last April, and they were his first offer. And like you said, his offer list, you know, became more impressive in the months that followed. You know, Iowa, Nebraska, Arkansas, Missouri, Kansas, and some others had joined the mix after Iowa State. But they've gotten him to a campus a lot of times. He's been one of their top priorities on the defensive line for more than a year. And they ultimately beat out his other two finalists Missouri and Kansas. And he's probably more of a rush end, a kid that's athletic, has 6'3", I think 250, and probably a little bit more ready than some of the defensive linemen that come in. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they can do with him, because this is an important defensive line recruiting class, especially at the end spots, because they're going to lose Jaquan Bailey after this coming season.
When you look at the class and where it is right now, were there a couple of positions of emphasis that they have been able to address so far?
Yeah, they're probably a little bit ahead at a few different positions, and then we'll see, you know, how they finish at a couple other positions here in the months ahead. Offensive line, they're definitely ahead at. They're probably pretty much done. They've got two in-state guys in Tyler Miller from Greene County and Brady Peterson from Ankeny. They've got an out-of-state guy, two out-of-state guys, one of them being Hayden Pauls from Emporia, Kansas, and then the other, Sam Renker, who they just got over the weekend as well from Ohio. So they got four Midwest offensive linemen, and I think they're pretty much done there. That's a place that they continue to try to rebuild. You know, you look at the offensive line going into this coming 2019 season, four of their five starters could be seniors. And in that, you know, their offensive line, I think, returns 114 career starts. So they're a lot more advanced when Matt Campbell got names, but they're still developing that. And that still has to kind of be done through recruiting. And so, you know, this is the second straight class that they've will have signed four high school offensive linemen. That's been an important position for them. And then, you know, we just talked about the receivers. You know, they've gotten two receivers over the last week between Hutchinson, the JUCO, and Aiden Bitter down in Florida, a kid that's, you know, 6'2 and a half, but has a 6'5 wingspan and high jumps, long jumps, pole vaults in Florida, and another athletic kid. So they're probably two-thirds of the way done at receiver. So I think offensively they're almost done, especially with two quarterbacks, two receivers, four offensive linemen. And the work that really remains now is on the defensive line and then the defensive backfield as well.
Well, sort of my next question, where do you go now if you're Matt Campbell? What areas are they looking to shore up?
Yeah, those two positions. You know, you look at the defensive line, they're going to graduate four players off that line. They've only got one defensive line commit that you just brought up a little bit ago in Johnny Wilson. They're focused in on Blaze Gunnarsson from Carroll Kemper. It's really between them and Nebraska. That decision could come anytime. He's visited both schools in the last 2 weeks. So if they got him, they would be in pretty good shape at defensive end. They probably still need two defensive tackles. You know, you lose Ray Lima and Jamal Johnson after this coming season. So I think on the defensive line, they could still add three or four more bodies. And then when you look at the defensive backs, they could probably still add three. So they've got 13 commits. They could probably get just above 20 when all is said and done. And six of those or more could come at defensive line and defensive backfield. So they've really advanced at several positions and several areas. But I think those are going to be the two areas that people will be focused in on the weeks ahead.
Now, I know Randy Peterson wrote about this at the Des Moines Register today, but the quarterback position is loaded. There are plenty of quarterbacks in-house behind a guy who many believe is going to be the cornerstone for this program for years to come. Do you think that eventually something is going to have to give with having all of these guys in the quarterback room?
Well, I think, you know, we found out last year in watching how this, you know, position developed with Brock Purdy taking over and then Devin Moore and Zeb Nolan both left the program. I think it's become a challenge really across college football in retaining quarterbacks, because you see a guy like Trevor Lawrence at Clemson gets a guy, and I think they got down to one other scholarship player at some point, because when a young freshman comes in, you know, those other guys kind of see what's going on. It's going to be an interesting year for Riel Mitchell and Easton Dean. You know, there are two other young guys. You know, after this coming season, they do lose John Kohler, and so you know, it kind of fits. Iowa State, I know, felt like they needed two quarterbacks in this class, and it's going to be interesting to see. I think really what's the next step for Riel Mitchell? You know, how does he fit into the offense, and what can they do with him? The one good thing for Iowa State now, I think, is they're getting beyond the point where it's going to be difficult to recruit because of Brock Purdy. I do think that's probably puts a little bit of a challenge in the hands of the staff, because, you know, young kids do say, okay, this kid's got 3 years left. But when you look at 2020 recruits, you know, Aiden Bowman and Hunter Deckers coming in this 2020 class, you know, theoretically they would redshirt in 2020. In 2021, they would be redshirt freshmen while Brock Purdy's a senior. And so then from really 2020 on, I think it's going to become easier, because you're not going to have the, okay, Brock Purdy's for sure the guy, I guess, message anymore, because now they start to get where, you know, especially through a redshirt, they're not overlapping as much. But I do think that's been a challenge, is when you have a freshman quarterback that excels, it gets more challenging, because, you know, every quarterback wants to come in and be the guy.
Alex Halstead with us from 24/7 Sports covers the Iowa State Cyclones. Cyclone Alert is the website. We mentioned 2020. What are the Cyclones doing as far as the 2021 class? We're starting to see some names pop up there as well.
Yeah, they've got one commit in that class right now. He committed back in February. Linebacker/tight end. Right now he's an athlete. I think he'll end up as a linebacker. Zach Tweet from Roland Story, about 10, 15 miles away from Ames, so he's right there. They offered him early. The thing that's going to be interesting there is that his recruitment's still ongoing. So he is committed. So we know that 2021 recruiting is quite a ways out. Iowa offered a week or two ago. So despite the commitment, Iowa is still now in that recruitment. Nebraska has shown strong interest. No public offer yet, but they could offer Kansas State and others. So they've got a commitment for 2021, but it's still pretty early. And I think other schools are going to still try to flip him, including Iowa. So that recruitment's probably still ongoing, but they have started there, and you're starting to see more offers go out. I think there's already 10 kids in the state of Iowa with Power 5 offers, and from everything I've heard, this could be one of the deepest classes in the state of Iowa in quite some time, so I think there's going to be some battles, and there's a lot of Midwest schools beyond just Iowa and Iowa State that are going to be battling for these kids because, you know, Minnesota and Nebraska are now trying to come in and get some of these 2021 Iowans as well.
Now, you mentioned that with this class, they address the offensive line position, but has that kind of been a theme the past couple classes and now moving ahead where Matt Campbell is going to try to beef up that position to be able to run the ball better than they have in the past?
Yeah, I think he feels like they're to that point now, but like I said, they graduate four guys, so they got to kind of load up and try to replace them. I think the last two classes they've taken four. The year before that, they took four or five, so you're seeing them take a lot of offensive linemen, probably more than you would in the past, just because they need to get to the point where they have depth. You know, Matt Campbell likes to have at least eight or nine that he feels comfortable to play, you know, obviously including your five starters and then having a depth of three or four that you could slot in there and feel just as comfortable. He thinks they're to that point in 2019, but they're now having to develop guys behind those guys. And so it's becoming a big emphasis for them, I think, right now, especially. You know, guards, I think they feel pretty good about, but tackle bodies are really hard to find at this level. But you see a lot of offers go out to kids that are even, you know, fringe tackles. And so I think that's one area where they're trying to bring in as many tackle bodies as they can so that they're pretty well set for the future.
Alex, let's transition to basketball. Obviously, no surprise to see Talen Horton-Tucker go in the NBA draft, but Mariel Shayok winds up landing with the Philadelphia 76ers. Are you intrigued by the opportunity there for him?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting fit. You know, that was really the other name that had always been interesting is, you know, when all these guys declared or graduated in the case of Shayok, you know, people were trying to project which ones were going to get drafted. And Horton Tucker was kind of, he was always going to get drafted. It was just kind of a matter of, you know, how far is he going to slip if he slips into the second round? And, you know, he slips about the midway point. But Shayok was always kind of the name around May, I think, or early May that, you know, people said, hey, he could be the one other guy that does sneak into the draft from Iowa State, and that ends up happening. And I think the interesting thing with him is that, you know, teams have seen him defensively at Virginia. They got a completely different view of him at Iowa State offensively and kind of combined those two things. That's kind of what Philadelphia 76ers GM Elton Brand said was, you know, they scouted him back to Virginia. They saw that side of him. They saw another side of him at Iowa State, and they thought that he could come in, you know, and put those two pieces together and be some sort of or a role player or whatever it might be in Philadelphia. So he'll get a shot, and you know, you'll see all these guys get a shot. You know, even Wendell Wigginton and Nick Waterbab. And I think even in the case of Shayok, you know, he's now got to go to summer league and still make a case to, you know, somehow be one of those 15 players on their roster.
How big is this for Steve Prohm, a guy like Shayok who goes the graduate transfer route? We know in the past that Iowa State has had good success going that route, but Steve Prohm has had to kind of build that up. But he's at Virginia. He's able to improve his offensive game to a point where he's one of the best big players in the Big 12, and he gets himself drafted, exactly what he was trying to do when he transferred to Iowa State.
Yeah, his situation worked out perfectly. You know, he's a guy that never averaged double figures in Virginia or at Virginia in a slow-paced offense, and his whole thing was he wanted to go play in an offensive system that fit him, more NBA style, and wanted to showcase that. And, you know, that was kind of always the selling point from Fred Hoiberg to these transfers was, hey, you can come play in an NBA system for 1 year, showcase to teams and scouts what you can do, and then get your shot. And that's kind of what Sayoc did, except for under Steve Prohm. So I think it certainly doesn't hurt as he tries to continue to go after transfers and say, hey, you can come to Iowa State 1 year, play in a system that, you know, is suited for the NBA in terms of offensive style, and at least get a shot. And, you know, they've done much better with sit-out transfers under Steve Prohm than they have with graduate transfers. You know, you look at Mariel Sayoc, Michael Jacobson had a good first year, will go into his second year. You know, now we'll see what they do with Prentice Nixon, but all signs point to him having a big impact, at least playing a big role this coming year. So, you know, so far they've had more of an success with, you know, these sit-out guys than graduate transfers, but it never hurts to have some of these guys go on and have success in terms of, you know, him trying to recruit down the road.
Alex, great stuff as always. Till next time, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Alex Halstead, again, you can read his stuff at 24/7 Sports, covering the Iowa State Cyclones. Now 4 commitments for Iowa State over the span of the last, let's call it, 4 days. 319-366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Feel free to use it to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Still to come tonight, players you saw before they were stars. But first, we need to take a quick timeout. You're about 30 minutes away from another Big Board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. Our producer, Kyle Mann, will have that for you inside the 6 o'clock hour as well. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, the South and North Gyms respectively, and online at kgymradio.com. Back with more after this.
Your first-place Minnesota Twins are on display at Target Field.
Ball game over, and the Twins win.
With a new hero every night.
Garver with a home run! Twins take a 2-0 lead!
Whole Bomba Squad ready.
Scope a 3-run homer and an 0-2 count. It's a 10-0 game.
May the force be with the Twins on June 26th as the first 10,000 fans receive a limited-edition Star Wars t-shirt. Celebrate your fandom at Target Field by visiting twinsbaseball.com/Star Wars.
Good losers gamble to have fun. They know losing is part of the game. In fact, good losers plan on it. And they never lose more than they can afford. Good losers know when to stop. If you're a good loser, you sleep no problem. But if you can't sleep, if your losses hurt too much, we can help. Call 1-800-BETS-OFF or visit 1-800-BETS-OFF.org and find out once and for all, are you a good loser? Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Health.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that next job done. At AutoZone, we have the free services you need to do it right. Like our free AutoZone Loan-A-Tool program. It's simple. You choose from over 100 specialty tools, borrow the one you need, and get the job done right. The best part? It's all free. Our tools even come with operating instructions, so you'll know exactly how to use them. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. Deposit required. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Ted here, dialing in from Denver.
Kenzie and the Chicago team dialing in.
Okay, let's get started.
Ted's in charge of this project. He's a total goober. And what's with the haircut?
Guys, can definitely hear you. Like, really good reception.
Conference calls, no-brainer. The mute button. Barbasol's no-brainer. Finally making razors to go along with America's favorite shaving cream. Try Barbasol's Ultra 6 Plus razor with 6 ultra-thin blades for a close, comfortable shave.
Barbasol!
As we watch the suburban garden gnome carefully without disturbing it, we notice that it moves like not at all. It's inanimate and utterly without brain function. But despite that, when a garden gnome hears about how Geico not only saves people money, but also gives them access to licensed agents 24/7 online and over the phone, it's clear to them you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. But on second thoughts, maybe don't watch garden gnomes too carefully. People might talk.
Life is lived by moving forward, seizing the open road, embracing what's ahead. It's why we created Ford Pass, everything you need to keep forging ahead in one app, right in the palm of your hand. Only Ford Pass combines roadside assistance, Ford Pass rewards, and now when you buy or lease a new Ford, earn points you can use toward flexible complimentary maintenance. Ford Pass, built to keep you moving. Built Ford proud. Visit your participating Ford dealership to find out about earning points for flexible complimentary maintenance when you buy or lease a new Ford and sign up for rewards.
Roadside assistance is included for certain Ford owners and available to everyone for a per-service fee. Ford reserves the right to change program details without obligations.
Visit your participating dealer or FordPassRewards.com for program rules and restrictions. FordPass, compatible with select smartphone platforms, is available via a download.
At Fidelity, we believe nothing should come between you and your money. So we're introducing zero account fees with zero minimums to open an account. All because we want you to invest with zero trade-offs. Visit fidelity.com/value to learn more. Zero account minimums and zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Expenses charged by investments such as funds and managed accounts and for commissions, interest charges, or other expenses for transactions may still apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, member NYSE, SIPC.
If you have frequent heartburn, take control of it with Prilosec OTC instead of stashing antacids everywhere, like in your junk drawer, buried under old batteries and hotel pens, or in your purse, hiding in the one pocket you won't check. You even have antacids on your nightstand, which are very hard to see in the dark. Ah, it's time you stopped stashing antacids and started taking Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn.
It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days, not for immediate relief.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
I understand you giving Carson Wentz a new contract. You didn't have to. You did it early. But that's not even my beef. My beef is you had to make sure you gave him the same amount as Russell Wilson. You couldn't give him a penny less, a dollar less. You had to sit there and give him the same amount as Russell Wilson. What you trying to say? What y'all trying to say? NFL culture?
The Stephen A. Smith Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
5:57, just shy of the third and final hour of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Welcome back in, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, the South and North Gyms, respectively, in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids, and online at kgymradio.com, where we have a poll question for you today. It centers around Game 2 of the College World Series tonight. Will you be rooting for Michigan, especially if you're an Iowa fan? Yes or never? Those are your options. You've got plenty of options on the menu at Emil's, again, located on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour tonight, the best player you saw before they were a star. Could be high school, college, in the minor leagues. We're going to take a dive into that topic and more as we take you home to 7 o'clock. Twins and Rays on the way tonight on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. Twins earlier today parting ways with left-handed reliever Gabriel Moya as they continue to try to figure out answers in the bullpen at the major league level, and they got to try to figure out what's wrong with Miguel Sano, too, at this point. Swinging and missing on way too many fastballs, but all told, Twins still off to a very impressive start in the AL Central this year. 319-366-1600, again, is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, and you'll have the opportunity to reach out to us over the final 60 minutes of the program tonight. If you missed our interview with Iowa men's basketball assistant coach Billy Taylor, it's going to be available for you in the first hour podcast online shortly after we're off the air tonight as well. Lots more to come, including your texts and phone calls, as the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues on a beautiful Tuesday night here in Eastern Iowa. 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. Don't go anywhere. Hour number three is next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
Christine Lisi, developing story. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reporting. Once NBA free agency tips off Sunday, the Rockets are planning to recruit all-star forward Jimmy Butler to push the 76ers for a sign-and-trade that would allow him to go to Houston. Rockets, though, would potentially need to make that a multi-team deal to satisfy the rules of base-year compensation that would cover Butler's outgoing salary. Philly, though, plans to be aggressive to try and hold on to Butler, says Woj.
They could do 4 years, 146. They could do the 5 years, 190. With Houston, sign and trade would be like 4 years, 140 million. But they traded for Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris with the intention to re-sign both of them. And so they could preempt this from the beginning by going in with those full 5 years for Jimmy Butler.
our Adrian Wojnarowski. Baseball: Astros outfielder George Springer set to return from a strained hamstring tonight versus the Pirates. The season is over for Cardinals closer Jordan Hicks. He'll have Tommy John surgery. That surgery could put part or all of his 2020 season in jeopardy as well. Stu Sternberg, the principal owner of the Rays, says it is unrealistic for the team to play full-time in the Tampa Bay area, and a shared season with Montreal is the best option. The Rays are averaging less than 15,000 fans a game this season. Commissioner Rob Manfred says the Rays do have broad permission to explore what options are available. And first pitch coming up on ESPN-TV and the ESPN app for Michigan and Vanderbilt in Game 2 of the College World Series. With a victory, the Wolverines will claim their first NCAA title in baseball since 1962.
Coming up Wednesday, less than a week away now from NBA free agency. So if you were the Nets, do you still want Kyrie, even if KD isn't coming with him? Plus the results of a debate that had Golic fired up.
You broke the huddle 3 seconds ago.
Golic and Wingo Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
Sugats here. We all have home projects we put off for too long. What's stopping you? For lots of people, they worry about overpaying and not getting a fair price. That's where Home Advisor can help. Their true cost guide shows you what others paid for similar projects. Then you can get matched with top-rated pros, read reviews, request quotes, and book appointments all for free. Home Advisor makes it easy to get those projects done so you can relax this summer. To find the right pro at a fair price, just ask Home Advisor. Go to homeadvisor.com or download the free app.
Takeru Kobayashi, Joey Chestnut, two record-setting champions.
And they are underway. It's eat all you can in 12 minutes.
We were pushing each other to limits that neither one of us thought we were going to go to.
We had a great rivalry. There's nothing like it.
What if I told you there was even more beef behind the scenes?
I didn't expect the rivalry to end the way it did.
The good, the bad, the hungry. Next Tuesday at 8 p.m. on ESPN.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
I understand you giving Carson Wentz a new contract. You didn't have to. You did it early. But that's not even my beef. My beef is you had to make sure you gave him the same amount as Russell Wilson. You couldn't give him a penny less, a dollar less. You had to sit there and give him the same amount as Russell Wilson. What you trying to say? What y'all trying to say? NFL culture?
The Stephen A. Smith Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
6:03, welcome back in. It is the third and final hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on an absolutely gorgeous summer night here in eastern Iowa. Maybe you've got plans to get outside and get a little yard work in, or you're heading over to Veterans Memorial Stadium to take in the Cedar Rapids Colonels, who are back in town tonight, kicking off a 7-game homestand with the first of 4 games against the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. You still got about 30 minutes to get to the ballpark before first pitch. They are going to be home on Friday night, by the way, your next opportunity to enjoy a Z102.9 Mug Club night at the ballpark, as the Colonels, I believe, at that point in the schedule, will be taking on the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. No, it's the series finale of the series with the Timber Rattlers. I was thinking Clinton was coming into town, but it'll still be the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, the Milwaukee Brewers affiliate. Game 2 of the College World Series about to get underway on ESPN. The Michigan Wolverines, this close to history, all that's standing in the way, the top draft prospect in 2021, Kumar Rocker, the outstanding right-handed freshman out of the University of Vanderbilt. And we'll see if Vandy wins tonight. Then game 3 is tomorrow, but no Big Ten team has won a College World Series title since Ohio State back in 1966. So we ask you today at KGYMradio.com, are you rooting for Michigan tonight? Yes or never? Your poll question options courtesy of Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Lots of baseball, professional and college, on tap tonight. The White Sox are in Boston at Fenway Park. It looks like there may be some weather issues there. Also looks like there may be some weather issues on the north side of Chicago with the Cubs and the Braves. So be thankful we have as nice weather as we do here in eastern Iowa
tonight. They usually tend to get stuff that we did get.
They get it a little worse at times, but usually things roll through here, and Chicago is talking about it next, most of the time.
This is such a beautiful night. I can only imagine that BJ and Marion is out on the deck firing up the grill tonight. But I don't want to...
What's on the grill, BJ?
319-366-1600. He's already weighing in on the topic that we're getting to here in the third and final hour. I saw Minor League Baseball earlier today tweeted a question that basically asked, who's the best player you saw in Minor League Baseball before they made it to the Major Leagues? And I thought, well, we can steal that because that's what we do in this business. We steal from everybody. And it doesn't necessarily have to be baseball because it can be hockey, football, basketball. But who's the best player that you saw before they were a star? Basically, one of these things where you don't quite realize who it is that you're seeing until maybe years later. Tom Brady comes to mind. Quarterback at Michigan. Very nondescript
right.
college football career. Sixth round draft pick of the New England Patriots. That's one of those things. I don't think there's anybody who was at Kinnick Stadium when Tom Brady was playing there. And if I'm off and it was Drew Henson, I'm going to feel really, really bad. But I think there was at least one year there where Brady was still ahead of Henson or vice versa. But nobody who saw Tom Brady could have possibly foretold that he would go on to be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. It's pretty easy to sit here and say, I am Mike Trout, which is my answer for baseball. Mike Trout was in Cedar Rapids in 2009 at the end of the season and 2010 for the first half of the campaign. I saw him in 2009. I thought, okay, this is a big kid. I can see why the Angels would take a chance on him. He didn't really play a whole lot at the end of the 2009 season. And then in 2010, you watch him and you think, okay, I've seen guys that have come through here before, and they've gone on to pretty good careers, but I had never in my life seen a guy who professional scouts, even in 2010, were comparing to Mickey Mantle. And there was a scout at Veterans Memorial Stadium that had a conversation with Jack Rader, who was the general manager still at the time, and that's who he compared Mike Trout to. As a player in A-ball.
As a 19-year-old kid?
Compared him to Mickey Mantle. So he's the best player he'd seen since Mickey Mantle. So those are my choices for basketball or for football and baseball. Basketball wise, I'm trying to think. I saw Greg Oden at the Big Ten tournament the year that he was at Ohio State, and I thought that was going to be one of those memorable moments. And Ohio State did not play in Iowa City that year. So if you wanted to see Greg Oden, it was Big Ten tournament or bust. And bust wound up being, although his was injury related. I don't ever hold that against a guy, but I'd have to probably think really long and hard about the basketball answer to that. I'm sure I saw some guys over the years through college that wound up going on to be stars that I never really thought a whole lot of, but we want to know who's the best player you saw on their way to stardom. 319-366-1600. Pick up the phone and give us a call tonight as we make our way towards 7 o'clock.
I had no inkling that Kawhi Leonard was going to be as good as he was when he was at San Diego State. I saw him play a couple of times, and I did not... Of course, you never think that somebody's going to be that good, but he's a later first-round pick, and you just wondered what he would be in the NBA, what role he would fill. You didn't know that he was going to fill every single role that you could possibly fill on a basketball team. In football, I think I was in eighth grade. Our high school team was playing Kirkwood High, the arch rival of Webster Groves, which is where Adrian Claiborne went. But Kirkwood had this outstanding receiver that just absolutely torched Lafayette, our school. I think he had four touchdowns. He ran back two punts. turned out to be Jeremy Maclin, and I didn't realize who I was watching at the time. I just knew the guy was really good. Turned out a couple of years later, he's at Mizzou after an ACL injury, and he's playing the best football of his life. And then there was another guy who rings close to here, a left-handed quarterback from Hazelwood Central, who I knew had some offers, but beat our team in the state playoffs. He came to Iowa, battled at the quarterback position for a couple of years, and then they moved him to wide receiver, and the rest was history with Marvin McNutt.
How about that? 319-366-1600. We got some good ones coming in on the text line, but right now let's go to the phone lines. We'll start with Ted in Cedar Rapids before we get to Sonny. Ted, who you got?
Barry Sanders.
Wow. Presumably in the Big 12, or Big 8, I should say, at Oklahoma State?
Yep. I was at the Iowa State-Oklahoma State game back in the day.
I vaguely recall his college days. I was a little too young for that. I remember him with the Detroit Lions, but could you tell when he was with the Cowboys that he was going to be the star in the NFL that he became?
No, because that game, it snowed and snowed and snowed. I mean, you knew he was good, but it was a rough game to watch that day.
All right, I got to take the conditions into account there. Let's go to Sonny in Iowa City. I have a feeling Sonny's going to have a pretty good list here. Sonny, welcome aboard.
I think that the winner, I mean, it's possible that I saw Tom Brady just like you. I'm not really sure.
Well, it was 1998. That was the year that they would have played at Kinnick Stadium. That was my freshman year.
Well, then I definitely did see him because I would have been in the drum line at that time. But the guy that I remember seeing was Ben Roethlisberger from Miami of Ohio.
Good answer. And,
he was every bit that you could tell. And he came in, and I believe he lost that game to Iowa, and it might have been one of the only games that he lost all year long. But he was touted coming in. He came through, and we really did shut him down. But just kind of following him throughout that year, because he was such a big deal, and just looking at just his size and the way that he played, I thought that he could very well be a very big deal in the pros, and he ended up being a very big deal in the pros. So that was one of those rare moments when you could actually see a bit of the future, and Roethlisberger turned out to be that.
Exactly what we're looking for, Sonny. Thank you. 319-366-1600. This was still in the infancy of eBay back in the day, but I think I sold that media guide, the Miami University media guide, for about $35 that year because it had Ben Roethlisberger on the cover, coached at the time by future Indiana football coach Terry Heppner, who unfortunately is no longer with us. Very, very good football coach. And Ben Roethlisberger was as good as advertised, and Iowa did shut him down. Miami, if I recall correctly, went on to have a really good season, may have even won the MAC that year. Let's go to Ash in Cedar Rapids. Ash, you're on. What's up?
Hey, I was just calling saying when I was at Michigan, Barry Larkin and Chris Sable were players there. And so I got to see them play. So every once in a while, that was pretty cool to see.
That'd be what, 82, 83, somewhere in that era?
85.
Yeah. No, to have two players on a Big Ten team go on to stardom in the major leagues, and if you don't think Chris Sabo was a star, he was for a very short window there in the late 80s and early 90s. Not only that, but then to be teammates, too, at the major league level. Go from the University of Michigan to the Cincinnati Reds. Michigan, by the way, underway at the College World Series Game 2 as they look to make history. First Big Ten team to win a College World Series since 1966 in Ohio State, but they got to get through Vandy's freshman ace in order to do it. Let's go back to the phone lines before we hit the text line. 366-1600, Zach in Cedar Rapids. Zach, your contribution.
Yes, I was probably 7 or 8 at the time, and my dad was a big UNI fan, and he took me to Des Moines. We went to a Barnstormers game, and there was Kurt Warner, and I thought he was a good-looking guy. He was pretty good. The Barnstormers won the game, and obviously the rest is history, going to arena to Europe, back to the NFL.
That's a great one as well.
It's a really good one.
I don't know what I was expecting when I went down this road. I thought a lot of people were going to take that obvious superstar player is obviously going to be a good route, but we've had a lot of contributions that I think are exactly what we're or what I was envisioning. A guy like Ben Roethlisberger, where, I mean, you really sort of had to be paying attention that season. Maybe if you were a casual fan, you'd say, well, some of my buddies have said their quarterback's pretty good. We'll see. And then you see him out there and you go, okay, he didn't really do anything against Iowa. And the next thing you know, he's leading the Steelers to the Super Bowl.
I remember, I'm trying to remember the year, but it was PJ Fleck's first year at Western Michigan. They came into Kinnick Stadium. And I announced that game for KRUI, and they had an outstanding freshman receiver at the time. Western Michigan was awful. If anybody remembers that first year under PJ Fleck, what was it, 63-3? It was a blowout. But Corey Davis for Western Michigan was a guy who was a freshman, and you could just see the potential. You could see right away that this is a guy that is probably going to play on Sundays because he was putting up those type of numbers already in his freshman year. And despite the fact that he didn't have a quarterback or an offensive line, he still actually had a pretty good game against Iowa that day.
One more phone call here. Mick in Iowa City. Mick, what you got for us tonight?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I grew up out in Portland, Oregon. I was running distance out there, trained a bit with Galen Rupp and Alberto Salazar, and I remember even back then I thought, you know, meeting him, this is the first guy that's going to beat the Kenyans since, I don't remember back when, before there were any Americans competing with the Kenyans in distance. And I think it was in London they did just that, took silver in the 10K.
Mick, not in a million years would have expected anybody to call in with that for an answer to the
unique
question tonight. Extremely unique. 366-1600.
1593 is a good one. Patrick Mahomes.
At Texas Tech?
I watched him at Texas Tech.
System quarterback.
Yeah, but you could see that he was really, really good. Like, really talented. And his defenses were so bad. And he made some really stupid throws at times. But my goodness, you could tell he was different than any of the other Texas Tech quarterback, quote-unquote, system guys from the past that never did anything in the NFL.
John on the text line going with John Starks. I'm assuming that's from the Cedar Rapids Silver Bullets days in the old Continental Basketball Association. And Marshall Yonda. Marshall Yonda is a good one. One of the last members of that recruiting class out of Anamosa, and has gone on to, I mean, if you had to rank players that have gone on to the NFL from the Kirk Ferentz two decades, Yonda might be in the top five.
Future Hall of Famer?
Future Hall of Famer. I know there are going to be some people out there that are scoffing at guys who don't play the skill positions, but Marshall Yonda is going to be in Canton, Ohio.
He's the crown jewel of a position that is the crown jewel of the program. He's the best of the best. The position that the program puts more players in the NFL than most in the country, besides Alabama, he will go down as having the most decorated legacy of any Iowa offensive lineman ever to this point.
1723 on the Hurting and Stocker Jewelers text line. Roger Craig, back in 1978, Cedar Rapids, Washington, taking on Davenport Central. You knew Roger would be special, but you didn't realize he would be a Super Bowl champion. Roger Craig going on to the University of Nebraska and then to great things in the NFL with the 49ers with Joe Montana and Jerry Rice. Great, great player and still thought of very highly over in the Quad Cities.
I played high school baseball with one of them, and he's been on our show before.
Luke Voigt.
Yeah. That was a case where people asked me, did you see it? Of course I saw it. Everybody saw it. He was always the best player. I mean, he was the guy in fifth grade that you played catch with before. At baseball camp, the high school team would have baseball camps. No one wanted to play catch with him because he threw too hard. He was that guy. And throughout high school, he was the best player. And there was a kid on our team who was a fine player himself, and he was the one getting recruited, a shortstop by the name of Nate Goro, who went on to play for 1 year at Wichita State. But he was the most highly recruited, and nobody was really talking to who was clearly the best player in not just at the school but in the area. And finally, after years at Missouri State, after being drafted in the 22nd round, after somehow making the major leagues in the Cardinals organization when they didn't think he was much of a prospect at all, and then getting traded to the Yankees, here we sit as a here he sits, I believe, leading the American League in all-star voting at first base.
Do we know for certain whether or not he'll be in the home run derby yet?
We do not.
When do we find out who's participating?
That's a great question. Is that this weekend?
Can we get gambling legalized in the state of Iowa by then? Because I would like to.
Isn't it July 1st?
Take out a second mortgage on Luke Voit in the home run derby. By the way, not to go too college baseball here, because we have talked a lot about Michigan in Omaha taking on Vanderbilt today, but what the hell happened to Wichita State's baseball program? They were Gene Stevenson, the Wichita State. You want to talk about a northern powerhouse, and you can debate all you want whether Wichita State falls into the north or not. But Wichita State for a very long time was a dominant college baseball power, and they've fallen off the map.
They were. Now, Gene Stevenson, I believe, was let go a few years back, and things have sort of gone downhill from there. But that was a program where you didn't, if you didn't follow college baseball closely, you didn't realize how good they were. But plenty of Major League Baseball players came through there. They won the College World Series in, 1989? And all of a sudden, they can't compete. The Missouri Valley Conference is really good. People don't realize that, but they can't even compete in their own conference right now.
No, they're doing better than you and I. But other than that, 319-366-1600. It bothers me. The state of Iowa, there's such support for baseball in this state. And we talk about what sports matter in various markets. Iowa is still a baseball state. And two of the three in-state schools made the decision, as painful as it may have been, or as painful as they pretended it was, to drop the sport. It bothers me. 319-366-1600. The best player you saw before they were a star. 366-1600, again, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Kumar Rocker does not count, by the way. If you're watching Game 2 of the College World Series, this guy is the number one draft prospect in 2021. They've got to wait 2 years before he's eligible again, but they've already put him at the top of the draft board, and I think it's going to take a lot to knock him off that perch as Vanderbilt has turned to a freshman to try to keep its season alive. Michigan seems to be content to try to piece together a little bit of a bullpen game here, or they've got a fallback option that they can go to, maybe a piggyback here. I think Michigan coming in tonight is fully expecting this to go three games. I don't think they feel that they're going to beat Kumar Rocker. Again, this kid threw a no-hitter the last time out.
The guy that they sent out has been sort of that piggyback option all year. He started some games, and he's only pitched two or three innings in those games. So it'll be interesting to see what they do if, in fact, they have maybe a lead come the third inning, or if it's still a 0-0 game come the third inning, what direction that they head, if they want to try to go for the win tonight and bring in their ace out of the pen, or if they want to live to fight another day and have everybody ready for a winner-take-all game tomorrow night.
What's the latest on Craig Kimbrell and his possible report date with the Cubs? We'll have that for you and more as we step aside and take a quick break. When we return, Kyle's going to have a big board update for you after this.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat, working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day.
Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired, but your guests do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Drywall, painting, general carpentry, kitchens, countertops, and alterations, and remodeling to business properties. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
See their work and get in touch at JacksonRemodel.com.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
The John Deere Classic is more than golf. It's a week filled with friends, food, fun, a youth clinic, and an amazing charity concert with Dustin Lynch. It's the event that's delivered over $100 million to local charities since 1971. And yes, there's great golf, too. Pretty. Sweet.
Oh, I like that.
Stuff.
Yes.
Magic does happen here. Get tickets at JohnDeereClassic.com or call 309-762-GOLF. Hurry, they're going fast.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Twins and the Rays, always a tough team to beat anywhere, but especially at Target Field. A three-game series begins on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis, Kyle Gibson, Blake Snell. Good pitching matchup for Game 1. On your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
6:28, welcome back in. And for Cubs fans out there wondering when Craig Kimbrell could be arriving at Wrigley Field, well, it could be any day now, according to multiple media reports, including one from our pal Tommy Birch at the Des Moines Register, who covers the Iowa Cubs. Tonight's outing for Craig Kimbrell is expected to be his last. Theo Epstein will check in with him and see if he's ready to rejoin the Major League squad. And if things go well tonight, it'll be all systems go for the seven-time All-Star. So if you didn't get over to Principal Park to see him, that does not count as seeing somebody before they were a star. A seven-time All-Star who's on a rehab appearance at the AAA level.
You're not going to allow that one?
You know what? I'll allow it in your own mind if you want to bring it to the table.
Last one, 7191 on the Hurtin and Stocker text line, saw Johnny Hockey, otherwise known as Johnny Gaudreau, playing for the Dubuque Fighting Saints back in 2010.
You got to have a really long memory to go USHL.
Yeah. The coach of the Dubuque Fighting Saints at that time was none other than Jim Montgomery, who is the current head coach of the Dallas Stars.
Did you just see the More You Know star shooting across the studio there, Kyle?
I saw that.
366-1600. Appreciate all of the participation on the Hurtin and Stocker Jewelers text line. That third voice you hear, our producer, Kyle Mann, set to fill in for me again this Friday. Right now, he's got a big board update for you, brought to you by the folks at Alexander Lumber. They will be moving to a new permanent location this summer, but for right now, you can still find them at 2802 Independence Road in Iowa City.
The Iowa football team's prolific recruiting run continued today with the first commitment in the class of 2022, meaning the Hawkeyes have now secured a pledge every day since last Friday, 8 in total. Now, the class of 2022 isn't ranked yet by the major outlets, but defensive end Aaron Graves from Gallery, Iowa may be a name you want to remember. As a freshman, he had 67 tackles, 15 for loss, and 11 sacks, and now as a sophomore to B, stands 6'4" and 230 pounds. He's a standout in track as well as with the Iowa Barnstormers basketball program, and his high school coach told Rob Gray that Graves is solid in his commitment, saying, quote, "Alabama could come and it won't matter." Former Cyclone and new Chicago Bears running back David Montgomery received quite the honor this afternoon, being named the Big 12 Male Sports Person of the Year. He's just the second Cyclone to win that award, joining Kale Sanderson back in the early 2000s. Former Hawkeye infielder Mason McCoy has been tearing it up with AA Bowie and, as such, was named an Eastern League All-Star. He leads the Bay Sox with a .324 batting average after hitting .379 to start the year in Single-A. And as a matter of fact, if you combine his numbers from both Frederick and Bowie, he's top five in hits in all of the minor leagues. The Colonels are back home for the first homestand of the second half, beginning with a four-game series with the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. 6'4", 260-pound, 20-year-old Kaiwei Tang from Taiwan is making the start tonight. He's 2-0 with the Colonels with 18 strikeouts in 14 innings. The Twins are also starting a homestand tonight with the surprising Tampa Bay Rays. It's Blake Snell and Kyle Gibson on the mound, and you can hear it on 107.5 FM The North, Jim.
Blake Snell, who is pretty familiar with Twins manager Rocco Baldelli and vice versa. Baldelli spending time with the Rays organization before coming over to Minnesota this year. He, Snell, the Cy Young winner last year in the American League, has had an up-and-down campaign so far this year, but there have been a couple starts, three of them, I think, where he's allowed six runs. The Mets, a team that we talked a great deal about yesterday on the program, currently leading the Philadelphia Phillies 2-1, the latest development.
Please tell me you're not going to Billy Mays me here and say, but wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more. The same organization whose manager and one of its starting pitchers almost got into a fight with a member of the media yesterday. Today, it's been revealed that the general manager, Brody Van Wagenen, who before becoming a GM was an agent to several players on the team, including Jacob DeGrom, ordered manager Mickey Callaway this season to take Jacob DeGrom out of a start in May when it appeared that he had injured his hip and now is denying that he inserts himself into baseball operations that way. That's, for those of you who don't necessarily follow baseball, really, really, really forbidden territory for a general manager to basically order a manager to take players out of a game. Unless they've been traded.
But is this a case where we're realizing more and more that the manager is completely inept in knowing what is going on the pitcher's mound or in a bullpen that he had to insert himself? Is that what people are looking at here?
Your guess is as good as mine with that organization. But it's just another day. It's just another Tuesday with the Mets as they take on the Phillies now 3-1. Maybe the controversy is all the Mets needed to right the ship.
What is it with these organizations in New York? I mean, every last one. I mean, not all of them. The Yankees.
Yankees are finally on stable ground.
Are back on track. But the Knicks, the Giants, the Mets, and the Jets can thank all three of the above options for keeping them from being sort of a laughing stock in their own division.
Yankees are beating the Blue Jays 2-0 in the Bronx. Baltimore on top of San Diego 1-0 after one inning. Nationals and Marlins are scoreless through the first. Texas put up two at Detroit. Cleveland with a 1-0 lead on the Royals. And don't look now, the Indians 43-35.
Starting to play better baseball, right, as the Twins are
all but given that division to the Twins. As I said to Mark Dukes earlier today in the office, another reminder that baseball is a really long season and that many, many things can happen.
I hope the Twins find, every team goes through a stretch like this during the course of the regular season. I think they'll figure it out, but the pitching isn't nearly as good as it was to begin the year, and that was sort of the question mark. And we'll see if they become active on the trade market, as a lot of the rumors of the past few weeks have indicated that they will be.
Their farm system right now is a lot deeper than Chicago's was when Theo Epstein started wheeling and dealing in 2016. It says something, though, that at 43-35... and 8-2 over their last 10 games, they're still 7.5 behind the Twins. Because in that 10-game stretch, the Twins have played 500 baseball, which for them is sort of a slump, but Cleveland has only been able to gain 3 games in that span. We talked with Billy Taylor, the new assistant basketball coach at the University of Iowa, earlier today. He's a Chicago White Sox fan. They're 36-40. They're 13.5 games out of the division lead, but they're only, and I say only, 6 back when it comes to the wild card. The second wild card, and I think you would agree with me on this, has really been a game changer as far as the trading deadline goes.
It has.
And this year, there is one trade deadline, July 31st. And so you've got certain teams, you know, Detroit and Kansas City in that division, they're out of it. They're 22-24 games back, 14.5 and 16.5 in the wild card. So you're going to have a handful of teams that are going to safely run up the white flag at this point. That's not true in the National League, where you look, the Marlins are the furthest out of the wild card, and they're 10 games back. The Giants are 7.5 games back, and then every other National League team is within 4 games of the last wild card. So how do you sell your fan base in the next 3 weeks on trading off, if you're the Giants, say, a reliever like Will Smith? It's a difficult position to be in.
It is.
So you've got that second wild card, and it makes you want to hang on just a little bit longer to see how things are going to play out. And I think there are moves to be made. We'll just wait and see who wants to be the first team to break the ice.
I don't mean to change directions.
Let's
here.
Let's change directions.
But I saw this article earlier today that we spent a lot of time talking about the Jordan McNair incident at Maryland, and how far are we removed from that? We're about a year removed from the death of Jordan McNair, a little over a year removed from that.
Again, it seems like 5 years ago.
Right, and then the whole saga with DJ Durkin and whether or not they were going to fire him. Athletic trainers from all Division I schools were surveyed, and in ESPN and Paula Levine released an article today about the findings of the survey. And some of the numbers here just are baffling to me. First of all, 36% of athletic trainers reported that a coach has been able to influence the hiring and firing of sports medicine staff. 36% report that a coach has the pull in whether or not, in deciding who they are going to hire to become their athletic trainer. Now, I'm trying to find the exact stat, but the one that really got me was 56% of athletic trainers have reported that a coach has had an influence on having a player continue playing even if it is against his best interests, his or her best interests, health-wise. We are not a year removed from the firing of DJ Durkin, and still 56%.
Over half.
Over half of the athletic trainers are reporting that this crap is still happening. So that is the most frustrating thing about this. Todd, you bring this up all the time when we're talking about a number of different topics. But if Jordan McNair, that incident wasn't going to make any change, and if this is still happening behind closed doors, out of sight, out of mind, the only way we're going to find out about this is if somebody gets seriously injured, as we've seen at numerous schools. There are two players at Oregon suing the school after they came down with rhabdo after a workout, or somebody dies like Jordan McNair, or these anonymous surveys come out. I just don't have any hope that it's ever going to change. We're just going to be caught in this cycle for a long time.
That is anybody else alarmed by that number? 366-1600. Let us know how you feel about that. That's 56% of the trainers saying that a coach has put pressure on them to put a player back into a game against medical advice.
Yes.
Now, what was the pool again as far as the number of trainers interviewed here?
See, I have to pull this up here in just a second, but athletic trainers were surveyed independently, and I believe they got most of the exact number isn't shared here, but they did get most of Division I, and yeah, 43% of the people, of the trainers that they surveyed here, were Division I athletic trainers.
And that's just, I don't have much to say about that, other than the fact that I should be surprised, but I guess I'm not.
I'm not surprised at all.
We still have the rub some dirt on it mentality when it comes to our sports. And I don't know how many more McNair situations we need before that completely changes. And again, I know the conversation for years has been about players are soft and we did things a different way in the 60s and we did things a different way in the 80s and even the 90s. But that's a little unsettling to see that, as you pointed out.
I was wrong. It was 58% reported being pressured by a coach or administrator to make a decision, quote, not in the best interest of a student athlete. 58%.
I like the fact that it's coach or administrator. Not that the coach necessarily makes it any better, but what the hell is an administrator doing ordering a medical staff to say, clear this kid, put him out there. We got football games to win. We got basketball games to win.
It's the mentality of the coach and the administrator. That's a great question. I don't understand how an athletic director or anybody would ever get involved in something like that. But football programs, mostly. Basketball programs, pretty much any program. This happens. And it happens all over the country at every level where the first inclination is to say, you're fine, get back out there. And there are still many times where athletic trainers are at the will of the coaches because, as this article says, they have the quote-unquote clout in this situation. They have all the power. They have all the ability to control their program, and it comes down to them at the end of the day, and that's not the way that it should be.
6:43, we need to take a quick timeout, our final timeout of the night. We will be back to check in on how things are going at the College World Series and put a nice big finishing touch on a Tuesday Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn after this.
Hairball will rock the ballpark with the Cedar Rapids Colonels on Saturday, July 6th. Featuring dead-on recreations of Kiss, Motley Crue, AC/DC, Twisted Sister, Van Halen, and many more. This show starts at 7:30, and tickets are on sale now for Hairball with opening act Catfish Murphy playing at Veterans Memorial Stadium on July 6th. Brought to you by media partners 94.1 KRNA and C102.9. Visit Colonels.com and get your tickets now to party at the park with Hairball.
Good losers gamble to have fun. They know losing is part of the game. In fact, good losers plan on it, and they never lose more than they can afford. Good losers know when to stop. If you're a good loser, you sleep no problem. But if you can't sleep, if your losses hurt too much, we can help. Call 1-800-BETS-OFF or visit 1-800-BETS-OFF.org and find out once and for all, are you a good loser? Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Health.
Message and data rates may apply. Please do not text and drive. See purple.com for terms and conditions.
And now for an important announcement. Do you, or does someone you know, sweat the bed? Do you ever wake up feeling like you've been sleeping on a slip and slide? Sweating the bed is a serious but common problem that affects your sleep, health, and happiness. Plus, it's just plain gross. But it's not you. It's your mattress. Fortunately, there is a cure. It's called Purple. Purple is the only mattress with a scientifically engineered smart comfort grid. This patented technology is designed to let air flow freely so you sleep cool. Side effects of sleeping on Purple include sleeping better, feeling better, and, well, honestly, smelling better. Try the Purple Mattress risk-free for 100 nights and never sweat the bed again. Now you can pick your own free product with mattress purchase by texting NAP to 84888. Become a Purple VIP and be the first to know about deals by texting NAP to 84888. That's N-A-P to 84888.
If you have frequent heartburn, take control of it with Prilosec OTC instead of stashing antacids everywhere, like in your junk drawer, buried under old batteries and hotel pens, or in your purse, hiding in the one pocket you won't check. You even have antacids on your nightstand, which are very hard to see in the dark. Ah, it's time you stopped stashing antacids and started taking Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn.
It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days, not for immediate relief.
Baseball, golf, the pinnacle of playoff season. It's what makes this time of year so exciting. But to get out there and take in all the sports you love, you need to protect your engine. So choose Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oil. It's the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. That's right, natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. So all you have to worry about is the score. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Stugatz here. We all have home projects we put off for too long. What's stopping you? For lots of people, they worry about overpaying and not getting a fair price. That's where Home Advisor can help. Their true cost guide shows you what others paid for similar projects. Then you can get matched with top-rated pros, read reviews, request quotes, and book appointments all for free. Home Advisor makes it easy to get those projects done so you can relax this summer. To find the right pro at a fair price, just ask Home Advisor. Go to homeadvisor.com or download the free app.
Twins and the Rays, always a tough team to beat anywhere, but especially at Target Field. A three-game series begins on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis, Kyle Gibson, Blake Snell. Good pitching matchup for Game 1 on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
6:47, welcome back in. The Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Tuesday night. 1600 AM, 106.3, 107.5 FM, the South Gym and North Gyms, respectively. Iowa City and Cedar Rapids online at kgymradio.com, where you can vote in our poll question today. Are you rooting for Michigan tonight at the College World Series in Omaha? Yes or never? Poll question is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. College World Series, best of three games. Michigan taking game one last night, dealing a major blow for Northern baseball schools everywhere. This would be the Big Ten's first College World Series championship since 1966, if the Wolverines can somehow pull it off.
Kumar Rocker is off to a pretty good start in this game. He struck out five of the first six Michigan hitters that he has faced.
Untouchable at this point. And this kid is going to be at Vanderbilt in the college game for two more years he's eligible to enter the draft again, where he's expected to be the number one pick.
He's a beast. 6'4", 260 pounds, up there with a fastball in the mid to upper 90s. He's exactly what the scouts are looking for, and that's the point that you made earlier. He fell to the 38th round in the draft because everybody was so sure he was going to Vanderbilt. That's why he fell that far?
Yeah, he would have been a first-round draft pick, except the dollars that he was asking for. He had made it very clear that if he were drafted, he was going to cost too much money and wasn't going to sign. So, I mean, you take a flyer. Was it the Braves? I can't remember the team that ultimately used a draft pick on him, but yeah.
Colorado Rockies.
He was a first-round talent. Last year, he's going to be a first-round talent in 2 years, and Michigan is most likely already thinking about what the lineup and battle plan is going to be tomorrow for a do-or-die Game 3 in Omaha. It's still on the bucket list. I still would love to get over there one of these years, and I thought maybe this would be the year. I'd talked about it several months ago with our good friend Jack Dom, who joins the program on Fridays for Touching All the Bases, and I guess in hindsight, luckily for me, I had never finalized plans or got any further than discussing things, because this has been a pretty rough week and a half for me here as far as things coming up personally go. But I know a number of people who've been to the College World Series over the years, and Wouldn't it be something if Iowa ever did get there? And you can't be watching this right now as we are and saying that it's not a possibility, because Michigan was not one of the best teams in the country this year. They barely got in to the regionals. But once they got in, they took care of business and continue to take care of business, except when they're facing down the college baseball version of a flamethrower, which Kumar Rocker is. We appreciate you being here with us tonight. We've just got a couple more minutes to go before we have to step aside. 107.5 FM listeners, you guys get Minnesota Twins baseball tonight as the Twins take on the Tampa Bay Rays, which earlier today, the managing partner of the Rays held a news conference in Florida in which he discussed something that we talked about last week here on the program, this idea, the trial balloon of Tampa and Montreal sharing the Rays franchise. It turns out he may have opened his mouth a little bit too much today during that news conference, because he talked about having discussions with a member of the Bronfman family, which is of the Seagram Seven heirs, former owners of the Montreal Expos. And he may have gotten himself into trouble, because that's sort of admitting that they've had these discussions going on for a while now, which is outside of the rules of Major League Baseball. This is, despite what he says, an attempt to extort a new stadium from the taxpayers in Tampa and St. Petersburg. And not only that, it would be a new stadium that would be used for only half of their home games, because the other half of games would be played in Montreal. So good luck selling that to taxpayers. This is, I think,
I think,
to the end of baseball in Tampa.
I think they just won out at this point. This is their cry for help. Let's get me out of here.
They've
got
a lease through 2027, and I don't think St. Pete is going to be in any hurry to let them break that lease. No, it's an unfortunate situation, one that Major League Baseball, in my opinion, is probably going to have to wade into sooner rather than later at some point. Speaking of Major League Baseball, we mentioned the Twins and the Rays tonight. Cubs continuing their series with the Braves at Wrigley Field, weather permitting, of course. You've also got the Cardinals at home against Oakland, and the White Sox are underway. They already trail Boston 1-0 in the bottom of the first inning. We were worried a little bit about the weather there. Looks like both the White Sox and Cubs will be able to get things going tonight. Brewers with an interleague game at Miller Park against Seattle, 7:10 first pitch set there. And for Cyclone Tim and all of our Cincinnati Reds fans, it's going to be a late night if you're still following along with the Reds. They're on the West Coast, taking on Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, and Albert Pujols, the Angels, 9:07 first pitch there. Coming up tomorrow on the program, it'll be a Wednesday. We'll tell you all about Lunchbox Heroes. Kyle, Alex, and I are going to be in downtown Cedar Rapids, our latest Lunchbox Heroes stop of 2019. A big thanks to our presenting sponsor, Built by Pros, for getting us out in the community. If you missed anything from today's program, including our chat with new Iowa basketball assistant coach Billy Taylor, podcast will be available shortly for you on our website, kgymradio.com.